This is the Quality News Network. Six Islamic militants were arrested last night in what is being called a homegrown terrorism plot to, quote, kill as many soldiers as possible at the Fort Dix Army Post in New Jersey. One of the suspects was a pizza delivery man who frequently delivered pizza to the base. The suspects came from the former Yugoslavia, Jordan, and Turkey. All of them had lived in the U.S. for several years. Some of them were here illegally. House Democrats have come up with new legislation to fund the Iraq war after President Bush's veto last week. It would provide money for the war through July, then Congress could cut off the funds after that if conditions in Iraq don't get better. The Pentagon has told 35,000 soldiers and Marines they should be prepared to deploy to Iraq starting this fall. These units are not related to the troop surge. The U.S. military says that two U.S. soldiers were killed and another was wounded by a roadside bomb today southeast of Baghdad. 28 U.S. troops have been killed in the Iraq war so far this month. In Iraq, at the Shiite holy city of Kufa, 16 people were killed in a car bomb blast at a busy marketplace. 70 were wounded. Vice President Dick Cheney leaves for the Middle East today to meet with key U.S. allies in the region to discuss how to stabilize Iraq and reduce Iran's power. The governor of Kansas said that the response to this weekend's killer storms has been slowed because of National Guard deployments to Iraq. White House Press Secretary Tony Snow refuted the claims. The New York Times reports that European officials may be willing to allow the U.S. to pick the next World Bank president if current president Paul Wolfowitz steps down. He is embroiled in a controversy which involves the promotion and pay raise for his girlfriend. In Belfast, Catholic and Protestant leaders today signed a landmark power-sharing agreement which creates a unity government for Northern Ireland. Queen Elizabeth wraps up her six-day tour to the U.S. today. She will have dinner tonight at the British Embassy with President Bush and the First Lady before returning back to Britain. CBSNews.com has blocked all reader comments on any story about Democratic Senator and 2008 presidential candidate Barack Obama. The decision was made because of the many vitriolic comments that were left about him on the website. You are listening to the Quality News Network. Business News next.
Huelhauser talks to customers of First National, South Valley, and San Benito Banks, local members of the network of preferred community banks.
We're here to talk with people about their local banking.
I just wonder why you think it's important to bank in a local bank.
Because it's here in our community, in our area, and we tend to find that they have the best service for us. They are always there when we need them.
Do you like the idea that it's a local bank with big bank services and benefits?
You get all the benefits of the big banks, but you walk in, people know who you are.
Yeah. Now, it's a community bank, but it's part of a network of banks.
Absolutely. They have the resources, but of course the personal touch of a local bank.
I am here once a week, yes.
Taking money out.
I'm putting it in and taking it out.
So you're doing a lot of banking in here.
I carry it in wheelbarrows.
Above and beyond banking from the network of preferred community banks. Available locally at First National Bank of Central California, South Valley National Bank, and San Benito Bank.
Starbucks has promised to eliminate artificial trans fats from its food and drinks by the end of the year. The change will affect all of its cafes in the U.S. and Canada. Consumer Reports has an analysis of eight popular diet plans by a panel of nutrition experts. The top score went to Volumetrics, a new plan based on low-energy density foods such as vegetables. Today, China confirmed that two Chinese companies had illegally exported contaminated livestock feed. The FDA has received 17,000 complaints of sick pets in the United States. A Hong Kong couple has been accused of, quote, highly profitable and highly suspicious trading of Dow Jones stock just before the News Corporation offer to buy the company was announced last week. The Securities and Exchange Commission filed the complaint today. Amazon.com announced it has received more than 1 million advance orders for the last Harry Potter book in the series. The seventh book will be released in late July. A Senate committee today approved a fuel efficiency increase that would raise the standards to an average of 35 miles per gallon by the year 2020. Light sweet crude is trading at $62.26 a barrel. And at the close of Wall Street today, the Dow Jones was down 4 points at 13,309. The NASDAQ was up one. There's always more at our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Allie Dramoff.
Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights, they're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it, so call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! You know, I knew it was going to be a weird day early this morning when I got a link from our good buddy Lottie, one of the mods in the chat room, sitting at YouTube, to watch a South Park version of the I'm a Mac, I'm a PC series of ads. Yes, I knew it was going to be a weird day, and then it went on and it turned into Microsoft Update Tuesday. And Agnes isn't in production chat. Because, well, you know what? She can't get there from here. Because the production computer wants to update really badly. I mean, it's like a junkie looking for a fix. I mean, it's beginning to shake and vibrate, and she's having a hard time finding music to play. And things may be a little bit dicey this evening. Just a little bit on the weird side, if you know what I mean. Of course, we ended last night on the sick and disgusting side with Dana Rohrabacher. Let me ask you a question, if I may. Did you tell anybody about Dana Rohrabacher today? Did you tell anybody that this man is wishing another 9/11 on Americans who disagree with him on the idea of illegal kidnapping and torture? Did you do that? Now, I got some emails in, and apparently the Rush Limbaugh stuff with Barack the Magic Negro is beginning to get a little traction. How about Dana Rohrabacher? You know, Rush has a declining audience, and, you know, he's becoming less relevant every day. Imus was a fool, and everyone knows it. But Dana Rohrabacher sits in the Congress of the United States, and in the middle of hearings, official hearings, for the love of God, official hearings, Dana Rohrabacher, a goon from California, a Republican, says things like, "Well, I hope it happens to you then. I hope you're the ones who have to suffer the consequences of us not illegally kidnapping and torturing people." So, you know, I don't know. Like I said, we may just play the audio from time to time just to sort of remind folks. Of course, the big news story here in the Coward Nation is that we've busted the big, big, big bad Fort Dix plot where six idiots with machine guns were going to go busting in and shoot up Fort Dix. How many rounds you think they would have gotten off? One, two, three? Maybe a burst of, you know, 50 or so before they were completely chewed to pieces by the perimeter guards at Fort Dix along the wire. Because if they weren't chewed to pieces within, 15, 20 seconds or so, I'd say that that whole military readiness thing that back when Dear Leader was campaigning for office and he said, "And the sad state of affairs is, after Bill Clinton's stewardship of the military, if I was to need to call on them in a time of war, two or three divisions would have to answer, 'Not ready for duty, sir.'" Remember that? I remember that. So, before we get ourselves, completely in a lather, let's note that this is a bunch of foolishness. "Oh, well, one of them used to be a pizza driver. Oh, my God, he's going to bring a Glock 19 just like Sung-Wee Cho had in a pizza box." "Ah, these are not pepperoni pizzas. These are pepperoni pizza boxes of Allah. The wrath of Allah comes in a Domino's box." Are you terrified? I mean, bless their hearts, QNN led off with it. It's the lead story at CNN. Everywhere you turn, the Fort Dix attack, the attack on Fort Dix. Oh, my God! The case began to take shape in January 2006 when an employee of a store told the FBI someone had brought a disturbing video to be duplicated. The video depicted 10 young men who appeared to be in their early 20s shooting assault weapons at a firing range in a militia-like style while calling for jihad and shouting in Arabic, Allah Akbar. I thought that was Arabic. Maybe I'm wrong. That, of course, means God is great. Inshallah means God is God willing. There's lots of Arabic phrases that are apparently now criminal. What does the NRA holler while they're out at their shooting range? Well, I shot him to pieces, didn't I? God bless America. This is all according to an FBI affidavit filed with the criminal complaints. The 10 young men who appeared to be in their early 20s shooting assault weapons at a firing range in militia-like style. What the hell is a militia-like style at a firing range? Oh, send the FBI back to language class. The FBI and Joint Terrorism Task Force began an investigation immediately. Quote, through the amazing efforts of cue the cheesy old 60s FBI TV show with Ephraim Zimbalist Jr. music. Through the amazing efforts of these law enforcement officers, we were able to infiltrate cooperating witnesses into this terrorist cell. Two paid informants. That would be paid, P-A-I-D, like with money. Oh, yeah, I'll say anything you want. Give me another Benny Franklin there. You know what? It was militia-like. Give me another Benny Franklin. I swear they were saying Allah Akbar. Did you know that? It'll take another Franklin. Thank you. They were militia-like. They were saying Allah Akbar. And, you know, that's Arabic for Allah Akbar. Both paid informants consensually recorded meetings and conversations, according to the affidavit filed by Special Agent John J. Ryan, who apparently says things like, which is Arabic for Allah Akbar. Defendant Mohammed Ibrahim Schneuer? Said on one of the recordings, my intent is to hit a heavy concentration of soldiers. This is exactly what we are looking for. You hit 4, 5, or 6 Humvees and light the whole place up and retreat completely without any losses. Agnes, this is where you cue up Patsy Cline singing, crazy. They had a collection of disturbing videos. The hell does that mean, disturbing videos?
I think that I am familiar with the fact that you are going to ignore this particular problem until it swims up and bites you on the ass.
Well, I suppose that's what a conservative would say to me. They're going to swim up and bite me on the ass. I don't know. No, okay, these guys may have been planning this craziness, but you know what? I mean, this is just me, and I'm all kumbaya and, you know, peace, and this is the right response. You go arrest them, you try them, and you put them in prison for a while. Because, you see, you caught them fair and square. Or at least as fair and square as something can be with something referred to as paid informants. Jesus. Now, officials said the group had a collection of jihadist videos, including video of the last will and testament of two of the 19 hijackers from the September 11, 2001 attacks, and video of Osama bin Laden calling Muslims to jihad. Woohoo! Of course, never mind the fact that you can sort of go anywhere on the internet and just find that crap. The men also showed videos to each other of killings of U.S. military personnel around the world. They watched the blowing off of the arm of a United States Marine, and the room burst into laughter. These guys were clearly committed to the task they had set before them, Fran Townsend, the White House Homeland Security Advisor, told CNN. Did I have the voice wrong for that one? I don't know, Fran Tarkenton. Their goal was to figure out how to kill as many American soldiers as possible. Here's a hint, boys. You're not going to kill many with six guys. I mean, this ain't Ghost Recon. Now, we've gone through this. The men had surveyed a number of bases but settled on Fort Dix because one of the defendants said he knew the base like the back of his hand because he had delivered pizza there. Jesus and his brother Harry, because he had delivered pizza there. Now this is Christie again. U.S. Attorney Christopher J. Christie. Remember, Bush appointee, Justice Department, subject to making one wonder what this person did in order to keep their job. Oh, my, I must be in a cynical mood tonight. Now, Christie said they were at the point where they wanted to obtain the automatic weapons that would be the final piece of their plan to create carnage at Fort... Wait a minute. Oh, for the love of Pete, wait a minute. Did you hear what I just... They were at the point where they wanted to obtain the automatic weapons that would be the... They didn't have any guns? Oh, it's the Miami plot all over again. You can't be an Islamic jihad gang without the right boots and tracksuits. We gave them money for boots and tracksuits, and they were committed to attacking Chicago from Miami. They were ready to start marching at any minute. Oh, Lord. Lord God, Billy Bob. Life in the coward nation. Special Agent Jody Weiss said, "Today we dodged a bullet. In fact, when you look at the types of weapons this group was trying to purchase, we may have dodged a lot of bullets." Pardon me. Excuse me. Sorry. Columbo mode. Just one last question. So you're saying they didn't have any guns, they hadn't gotten any guns yet, so therefore they couldn't have done anything at all. Yeah, kinda. But we got them. They were trying to get guns. Right now, they only had pizza. But they were trying to get guns. How much money do we pay these people?
It can only be attributable to human error.
Yeah, thanks, Hal. He can't run updates and do shows at the same time, but he can give me a... Thank you, Hal. The U.S. Attorney's Office said the three brothers involved, all with the last name Duka, were born in the former Yugoslavia? Really? They're not from Afghanistan? Shouldn't they be from Iraq? I mean, we're talking about coming home, and the Iraqis are supposed to follow us. Hey, scoot over in the C-130. The Iraqi terrorists are following us home. We got to give them a ride. Otherwise, they'll be forever rowing over here. From the former Yugoslavia. Gee, I'll be damned. That's a real noggin. That's a real noggin scratcher. See, here. See, I'm scratching my noggin. Now, why in the world would a Muslim jihadi from Yugoslavia want to do anything to us?
Young people from all over the globe are joining up to fight for the future.
I'm doing my part.
I'm doing my part.
I'm doing my part.
I'm doing my part, too.
They're doing their part. Are you? Join the mobile infantry and save the world. Service guarantees citizenship.
Agnes liked Starship Troopers a lot more than I did. I was fond of the book. I thought they butchered the book. No, wait, though. The three brothers, all with the last name Duca, born in the former Yugoslavia, illegally residing in the United States. Boy, this just it reads like a movie script after a while, doesn't it? Yugoslavia. Wait a minute. Didn't we bomb the snot out of Yugoslavia? Didn't we, once upon a time, help create more hate for the United States in the world by bombing civilian infrastructure in Yugoslavia? Didn't we bomb Serbs? Didn't we bomb Croats? Didn't we bomb Bosnian Herzegovinans? Didn't we bomb Kosovars? Because, see, when you're doing your business from 40,000 feet, you can't exactly be spot on. And you're going to have some of that euphemistic collateral damage. And you know, the right wingers, oh, you don't understand, Bob, they're protecting America. Like I said, this was done to a certain extent the right way. But while you're trying, while you're taking down the pizza delivery guy, there's probably somebody who is able to do real harm. Now, unfortunately, the Bush administration and the Bush Justice Department and Alberto Gonzalez doesn't quite understand that those people, for the most part, walk around and call themselves Christians, have houses full of guns, and are trying to make Jesus come back in his holy roles. You know, we've had a couple of those stories lately. The other three men charged are Mohammed Ibrahim Schneuer, a U.S. citizen born in Jordan. He's a cab driver in Philly. There's Serdar Tatar of Philly, born in Turkey. His last known job was at a 7-Eleven. There's Agran Abdallahu of Buena Vista Township, born in the former Yugoslavia and working as a stock clerk at the ShopRite supermarket. Abdallahu is charged with aiding and abetting the Duca brothers' illegal possession of weapons, which carries a maximum penalty of 10 years in federal prison. So what you've got here is basically some guys who had a couple of illegal firearms, the likes of which are owned by gun freaks all over this country. Well, I got me a machine gun, but I ain't telling the feds about it. I shoot it when they ain't looking. Dang, it's fun. While authorities are glad to have arrested them, the individuals are, quote, I mean, damn it, CNN, how many paragraphs? I've gone through 20, 25 paragraphs, 30 maybe, before we get down to the bottom. While authorities are glad to have arrested them, the individuals are, quote, hardly hardcore terrorists. You got a guy whose last job was a stock clerk at the ShopRite. You got a guy who's a cab driver in Philly. Hardly Travis Bickle. You got a guy who works at the 7-Eleven. Please don't wheeze the juice. and a pizza delivery guy. And they go out into the Jersey countryside on the weekend, and they shoot their automatic weapons. And they holler Allah Akbar, which according to the FBI agent is Arabic for Allah Akbar. And this is Frontline News? Holy cats! Slow news day. Slow news day. Fort Dix, the complaint said Tatar had acquired a map of Fort Dix and distributed it to others. Of course, you know, I'm just being devil's advocate here, but if you're defense counsel, they all hope to be Domino's drivers just like their buddies, so they needed to know how to get around Fort Dix. I mean, not that I'm giving anything away. Another source said that while the allegations are troubling, these guys, quote, are not the type that made the hair on the back of your neck stand up. In other words, what we are viewing here is a great big PR balloon being floated by the Bush administration to try to divert attention away from the fact that they fail at every blessed thing that they do. Wait a minute, we caught us some weekend jihadis. Lord above. So, you know, keep that in mind. And remember, maybe someday you'll be a foreign policy maker in the federal government. And you might want to remember that when you bomb the snot out of other little countries that can't do you any harm, sometimes you hurt people that you don't want to hurt. And you make them mad at the United States, and they do things like come to the United States illegally and want to be a jihadi. Like these dudes from the former Yugoslavia, where once upon a time, under the rule of Marshal Tito, Serb got along with Bosnian, Herzegovinian got along with Croat got along with Kosovar, Albanian got along, everybody got along. Because Tito told them if they didn't all get along, he would personally come and shoot every last one of them. And all these people who don't like to get along, got along. And they intermarried, and they had neighbors, and they had friends. Oh, you're Croat? Oh, that is good. I am Serb. Well, howdy do. But just as is the case with Saddam Hussein, with Tito, the strong man went away. And everybody said, hey, Serb's here. Croat's there. Bosnia's, Herzegovinians, get down there before we kill you. And that's what you want. And whether it's Croats versus Serbs versus Bosnians, or it's Sunni versus Kurd versus Shia, same crap, different day. So at least bear in mind, nobody else will do this. I don't know. Maybe other liberal talkers had the guts to talk about this, but I call BS on this story. Just like right off the bat, I called BS on the big Miami plot to march to Chicago and shoot the windows out of the Marshall Fields. Oh, Jesus, they were terrorists. No, they were a bunch of broke kids standing on a street corner that wanted a new pair of sneakers. The funny thing is, they're using this to terrorize us. And it's not the little dudes sitting around screaming Allah Akbar, or those aren't the terrifying people. We are deliberately being terrified by our own government. When does it end? Not anytime soon, if the information I've got for you later in the program is any indication. Hey, you know how to get in touch with the program, 877-443-2366, or on your nickel, 304-658-5453. Everybody's restless. This is The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid. Someone's always trying to tell them something they already know. So their anger and resentment flow, but don't
The United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competency and training. UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business anytime and every time. It's their job to provide manpower. They build partnerships based on respect and trust. They provide skilled, responsible millwrights and carpenters to meet the challenge of any project because they believe and what they're doing and are so very committed to getting each and every job done right. They include a clause in your contract that eliminates work slowdown and jurisdictional disputes because they believe that, as professionals, they can discuss and solve any problem while keeping your project on target on time. We'd like to take this opportunity to thank the men and women of the United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights for building the American dream and saving the American dream. Thank you.
The following is a Head-On Radio Network special announcement. Ha ha! I'm back! That's right. The rampaging, ranting, tree-hugging, planet-saving, head-banging hippie is back at a brand new time. Foxed Up returns weekdays 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific, and late night 1 a.m. in Sydney. So set your streamer to a new Foxed Up time here on the Horn, the Head-On Radio Network.
There's one place on the web you can go that's so topical, you can apply it liberally. WD40.com. WDYAD40.com. Vlad, Wally, and Goofy are there. They're working hard every day to give you updates in the news, politics, and a great sense of humor. So stop on by and see the boys at WD40.com, a place where you can raise your voice and be heard. WD40.com. Your one-stop shop for all things progressive.
This is the story about a group of kids who volunteered.
We fixed stuff. Did some art projects with the kids.
Cleaned up the park.
We worked in the woods.
I just wanted to do something.
We fixed up this house.
Did something for the planet.
Hey, that was all I needed. And you know what? It was great.
It was a blast.
At first, they didn't know each other.
I didn't know anyone.
Well, that didn't last long.
This guy is really funny.
Me?
These are my new friends. These are really good new friends.
Are you into it?
Are You Into It is a volunteer program for kids like you who care. If you want to make a difference in your community and make friends, call 4-H toll-free at 1-888-77-YOUTH or check out our website at www.areyouintoit.com.
This definitely made a difference.
I feel like I can do everything now.
A public service message brought to you by 4-H, the Cooperative Extension System, and the Ad Council.
That song kind of got it a little bit backwards. Tax the rich, feed the poor, till there are no hungry no more. You want to change the world? You can start by hanging out here. This is the empowerment zone for budding activists. This is where we build community. This is where we build what it takes to stand up and talk back. Like the Rohrabacher thing. Until people are talking about it, you know, and, you know, I know. We're under attack. They were going to blow up Fort Dix. No, they weren't. But on the other hand, Dana Rohrabacher is wishing that, and see, that's the thing. They're sitting around wishing for another one of these. They're wishing for it at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. They're wishing for it in the minority cloakroom of the House and the Senate. They're wishing for another attack. So, yeah, see, you lily-livered sissy Democrats got this. We got us attacked again. See, pizza drivers attacking Fort Dix. Mother and America and apple pie and the Bible ain't safe. And these illegal immigrants to boot. What are we going to do? Right? Yeah, you know. So, you know, the way I'm approaching it is, you know, geez, you know, I heard this congressman the other day wishing for another 9/11. My God. And it was so much fun because the dude goes, them Democrats. I said, no, dude, it was a Republican. No, it wasn't. Yeah, it was. And then his jaw just hung a little slacker and slacker and slacker. And you could hear him begin with the mouth breathing. Let's go to the phones. Our good buddy Alan the Trucker's calling in. Hey, Alan, welcome to the program.
Yes, last summer I was driving down the road thinking about how our ancestors fought so hard for to make a middle class in this country, and they fought hard for unionism.
Mm-hmm.
And then I drove up to a place where I was supposed to pick up a shipment, and they were on strike. And I just could not pass that picket line.
Heck no.
So I drove on down and talked to some picketers, and some guards came up to me and thought I just accidentally passed my turn. And they probably worked for Blackwater or something. They told me where to go, and I said, hell no, I'm not going to go past that picket line. So,
well, you know, those are working people. You either are, if anybody who crosses a picket line dishonors the labor of whoever is on strike. And, you know, we saw some of that, Alan, up here recently with the strike at of the steel workers, members who were LPNs and maintenance folk and the like at Appalachian Regional Hospital. You had Teamsters coming along, and they wouldn't cross that picket line for love nor money.
Yeah, I talked to the guy who's head of the union there, and he said if all the truckers did like I did, it would have just stopped that strike in a day. Or ended that strike in one day. We just need to stand up for each other.
It's just a little moral courage is all.
Yeah.
Now, out of curiosity, did you get any hell from your boss?
Oh, man, I almost lost my job. It was a close call. They finally gave me another load, though, but I was just so angry. I mean, my great-grandfather used to let union members meet in his store when they were fighting about people from Russia coming over and competing for jobs in the steel mills around Birmingham, Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a repeating story between working men and rich people. So,
well, it's a pretty clear distinction, isn't it, Alan? There are people in this world. There are people who work for a living and people who don't.
Yeah.
And the people who work for a living don't have much in common with the people who don't.
Well, thanks for taking my call, and I keep listening to you on the internet.
I appreciate it. Thanks so much, Alan. Always good to hear from you, and stay safe. You on the road tonight?
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. I'm listening to you on the internet while I'm driving down the road. I got an internet card. It goes in the...
God, that's exciting. We got to leverage that technology and get more people doing that, because when we get folks who can start listening in the cars and in the cabs and stuff, this thing's going to take off like a rocket.
Oh, it's great. I just had my satellite radios disconnected when I got this thing.
Why? Yeah, why not? I mean, exactly. I mean, unless, you know, Howard Stern, but, you know, please. Alan, you drive careful, all right?
Okay, thank you.
See you now.
Bye.
Bye. That's okay. I want one of those cards too, so I don't have to listen to commercials and four-pay terrestrial radio ever again. Let's keep it rolling. Our good buddy David from Maine has been waiting a little bit. Hey, David, welcome to the program.
Good evening, Bob. Good evening.
How are you?
Yeah, I'm all right. I was wondering if you saw the. I'm going back to 60 Minutes now because there was another interesting story which I'm going to make a analogy pretty soon. It was titled "Who the Hell is Jackson Pollock?" Did you see it?
No, I did not.
Well, what it was about was this woman. Very interesting story. She was a truck driver, and she was a true as grit type tough truck driver. And she picked up this painting in San Francisco, and she goes, and the clerk goes, "That'll be $9." And she goes, "Nope, not going to do that. I'll give you $5 for it." So she got a painting for $5. Now, she took it back, but she really didn't like it. And when she was getting drunk with some of her buddies after a hard day trucking, she says, "You know, we were going to throw darts at it, but it's in the garage." I know. So she goes out, and she puts it on the yard sale later on. And this professor comes up, and he goes, "You know, if I'm not mistaken, this is a Jackson Pollock."
Yeah.
And then her answer was, "Who the hell is
Jackson Pollock?" Sure.
Right.
You mean somebody got paid to paint like that?
So now the question is, so now we're dealing in forensic evidence. How do you prove a Jackson Pollock if someone says it looks like a Jackson Pollock? I think you'll see where I'm going with it.
Yeah.
Here's what happened. The guy, she went to a special art investigator, and I guess she paid him some money, or maybe they worked out a deal. I don't know how she could do it with her salary, but whatever. And he started looking at the painting in detail on the computer. He looked at all of the paint, and if people, I guess I should explain, people who don't know who Jackson Pollock is, he used intense paint drips all over the place.
Yeah.
But what this guy could do was he could literally see, like, all of the strokes when it was magnified. So he looked on the front side, and then he looked on the back side, and he saw a fingerprint. Now, this is where we enter La La Land. So he sees the fingerprint, and he goes, "Now, if we can get a match that this is Jackson Pollock, then we're golden." So what they have to do is they travel all the way to his art studio. They travel all the way to his art studio, and if you don't know anything about Jackson Pollock's art studio, it's as if time stood still. All the cans are completely on the table. They're completely on the shelf. Everything's open. The floor has not been cleaned. So whoever kept the studio was really thinking ahead. All of the painting is on the floor. So I think you'll see where I'm going with this. Now, what they do is they look for a paint splatter that fits what's on the painting.
Right. They're matching a splatter pattern.
Right. So they match a splatter pattern, and they find the fingerprint. Now, this is where we enter the Twilight Zone, people. They find the fingerprint, and they match the fingerprint. And it's almost an identical match. So this is a really good chance, pretty good chance, that this is a Jackson Pollock. In forensic terms, it is a great chance. But now, this is where we enter the world of the art elitist. If you have a truck driver who has a painting, and they judge the painting and they say it isn't a Jackson Pollock, they will actually dismiss, I'm not kidding you, they will dismiss the fingerprint. They will dismiss that fingerprint. They'll say, "Well, what's a DNA match? What's a fingerprint match? I don't know what you're talking about. Doesn't look like a Jackson Pollock." So they showed one of the art critics, and he was looking at the painting that she had, and he was like, "You know, this painting," and he was just like BSing himself. He's like, "This painting, you see, the strokes, it doesn't go this way. It's supposed to go perpendicular," or whatever he was saying. Or
yeah.
"He's supposed to have a broader stroke on this. It's a less of texture of color." And you see, Bob, those kind of people are the same kind of people we have currently in Capitol Hill in Washington, D.C., who keep talking about democracy, lobbying what a free country, a free society should be. Those are the same kind of people. They look at something, and they think they have it all figured out, but they don't realize you have no way of telling what is what if you don't have, if something is so distant and there's no proof of what it is right in front of your eyes.
Off in the archaeological dig once upon a time, I learned a phrase as a young man. No providence, no data.
That's right.
In other words, if you couldn't, look at the arrowhead. Well, how far down was it when you dug it up? What were the things that was associated with it in the dig? Was there any radio cart? Nope. No data. Can't say a blessed thing. It's an arrowhead. Can't even say it's the real deal.
Exactly. That's the type of people we're dealing with.
Or, you know, people, yeah, I think I get what you're saying, David.
Yeah.
These people, over there, they're getting a democracy in Iraq. No, they're not. They're going to get a religious totalitarian theocracy.
I'll try to explain a little bit more. The people are so isolated, just like what Bill Moyers was saying in the Washington, D.C. bubble. These art critics are so freaking isolated. You could bring them DNA evidence and say, or if you want to put it in layman terms, you could bring them an IED and say, look, this is what's happening. This is what it is. And they'll be like, I don't understand.
I know.
And that's the problem we face. And I think people have to understand. It's a similar thing what I was talking about 2 weeks ago about Forrest Whitaker and all of this. When you play a role and you say, we've got them good. We've got these suckers good. What happens is it attaches to your psyche, and you start shifting toward that personality. That's what happened to Cheney. That's what happened to Rove. I bet you, they people even say it. When Cheney and Rove and all of those people, before they even touch politics, in particular Cheney, they a lot of people who say Cheney say he was a different man. This is what happens. You get so isolated. You play the role. You say, oh, we got them good, because they think, you know what they think? They think Washington, D.C. is a joke. They think all of this is just theater, because that's what they were told.
Yep.
And the problem is similar to the artist community, when you get isolated and you think you literally can dictate and you know what art is, you know whose artwork this is, just by looking at it. Just by looking at a democracy, you know what a free society is? That's not true.
It has to. Are you suggesting that it has to have deeper manifest? You've got to have more providence.
Yeah, you got to have more providence, and you got to be intuitive, and you have to be insightful. If you can't critically think,
well, see, David, I remember, especially back during the Clinton years. If the word democracy came up, some brain dead right winger, well, okay, you know how they are. It ain't a democracy; it's a republic based upon democratic principles. This ain't no democracy; never was a democracy. It ain't supposed to be a democracy. It ain't a democracy.
Right.
I remember it very, very well. These are the same people that rode around in trucks with bumper stickers that said, "I love my country, but I fear my government." And so what? To a certain extent, we call what we've got going on here democracy. It isn't. Okay?
Oh, yeah.
You're up east, you're up in Maine.
Yeah. Probably in a different world than you are, Bob.
Big difference, okay?
Yeah.
Because from time to time, the New England states, especially Vermont, New Hampshire, do they do it in Maine where they have the town meetings too?
Sometimes I don't know.
You know, people show up for town meetings,
right?
And they're just townsfolk, and they get a vote that equals the vote of everybody. That's the same value as everybody else's vote, and they make decisions about, you know, we need to fix the cracking, crumbling sidewalk on Main Street, that kind of thing. But that's real democracy,
right?
Down here, and in the vast majority of the United States, you have a city council meeting. Or you have a county commission meeting or a school board meeting, and unless it has something to do with displaying the flag or public prayer, you can't get anybody to go to the damn meetings, okay?
Right.
So we ourselves snuck, and now bear in mind, the county commissions and city councils and school boards and so forth try their dead-level best to schedule these meetings when nobody will show up and bother them.
Right.
And actually try to do democracy. And as a consequence, you show up at a county commission meeting in any given county, any given state, you'll find the commission members sitting there, and you'll find maybe the local newspaper reporter, maybe the local radio guy, and usually one or two cranks. And that's it. That, you know, and right there in the cradle, democracy gets a little hand put around its neck, and you know, so much for democracy. Liberty fetish. Yeah, I'd say freedom fetish.
Yeah, freedom fetish.
And that's all it is a fetish, because, you know, look, there's 6 dozen different things you can do that will teach you in a hurry how free you aren't.
And also, Bob, the problem is the same thing with the art community and the same thing with these liberty freaks, is that if you look at it just from your perspective, it's never going to be honest. It's never going to be credible. When it comes down the line,
you got to try to get at it from another perspective.
Right. People will be like, "Well, why didn't you look at another?" People's kids will be like, "Well, why didn't you look at it from another perspective?" And you're like, "Well, that's a good question. I don't know why they didn't look at it from another perspective. I guess they believe that if they just sat back and afar, they would see the whole picture and they would say, aha, that's a Jackson Pollock. I know. We're making a Jackson Pollock."
Yeah, and I'm kind of guilty here, David, because I've seen real Jackson Pollocks hanging in museums and so forth. And frankly, I went, well, I'll be damned, because, you know, you look at a Jackson Pollock, and he makes Picasso look downright classical.
Right. I think there's a lot of truth to be said. That, like I said, when I mentioned this a year ago on this program, I said that on 60 Minutes, the art community is so twacked in the head that some guy paid $6,000 for just a pile of candy in the corner. And I'm not exaggerating, people.
What was it? Yoko Ono displayed an apple. You know, right. An apple from the grocery store.
She displayed an apple. And I guess the problem is when you have these freaks who come in.
Oh, I'm looking at a whole bunch of Jackson Pollock right now, David.
Right.
Here's one called Lavender Mist. And it appears to be a whole bunch of paint splatters. And here's another one called Naked Man with Knife.
Yeah.
That appears to be a whole bunch of paint splatters.
But Bob, you see, he was ahead of his time. See, he was imitating stuff that would be on Windows Paint Shop for the future.
No kidding. I mean, you know, he had to actually do it with paint, you know.
Yeah.
I can do it with a mouse click.
Here's
Blue Poles number whatever. And, you know, oddly enough, just like Lavender Mist and Man with a Knife, it appears to be a bunch of paint splatters. Now, I know I am betraying myself as an absolute Philistine here.
Right.
You don't understand the symmetry, Bob. You don't get the organic integration of the soul that's present in this art.
If we were suddenly thrust into the art community and the art gallery, and we started speaking our mind like this,
that's crap.
We would get so distanced in a heartbeat, because the problem is it's the same thing with the neoconservatives, people. It's the same thing. As soon as you enter that circle and you say something just a little bit different, they're so conditioned to believe in themselves that's...
And, well, not so much in themselves, but in what they've been told to believe and have believed uncritically.
That's right. And even the people, there were probably neoconservatives who were skeptical, like I would be thinking maybe somebody like Fukuyama, who was probably, in the beginning, was like, I don't know what this sounds like. But then after, like, 8 hours of Richard Pearl, is like, oh, yes, we need to go into Iraq.
Got it now.
Yeah.
No, that's after they bring him in and they give him the secret lodge high sign and 100 shares of Halliburton, you know. But you know, I mean, you know, you look at the painting hanging on the wall, and you go, that's crap. And they say, well, that painting recently was acquired for $7.8 million. And you just sit there and go, quit it.
Well,
stop it.
Exactly.
And then you turn around and, where are you going? I'm going to go home and make me a $7.8 million painting. Well, wait a minute. You got to die first. Aw, damn.
And a postscript to this story. Bob, she's still going through it. She's still going through the court system. People don't want to believe it's a Jackson. People don't want to believe it's a Jackson Pollock. People want to believe that...
Drivers don't have Jackson Pollocks from yard sales.
Yeah, that's what they say. And she, some guy even offered her $2 million, and she turned it down because she realized it's worth a lot more than that. So...
Yeah, but man, it's a lot like Beanie Babies too.
Yeah, I know.
It's strictly a matter of what the market, the value imposed by an artificially inflated market.
It is all about the market, and the market at that time for an Iraqi democracy, they just built it up. They had their art elitists. They thought that they were making. They thought that they could judge great art. They said, "Oh, we can make a masterpiece out of this place."
Yep.
And. This goes to show you that we need more accountability and we need more perspective. And if we don't have that from now on, we are so toast.
Yeah, across the board. And thank you for providing that that perspective, David. Because it's not just art. It's not. I mean, now you know, I love. For instance, music-wise, I love Pat Metheny. Okay.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But I bought many, many years ago, having bought a couple of Pat Metheny albums, I ran out and bought the latest one, which was a collaboration between him and
Eric Bailey.
No, and Ornette Coleman.
Oh.
Now
I have one of his. Yeah.
Now I'm going to betray myself again. You know, I've just got my little Philistine hat on because I was like, yeah, new from Pat Metheny, Ornette Coleman saxophone. This is going to be cool. And popped it in the tape player and heard something that sounded like a goose rape coming out. And
a goose rape.
It did. Hank, honk. Yeah. And I think Ornette Coleman got like a Pulitzer or you know, the Holly Smoot Prize this year or something.
Did you see that Colbert? Did you see that Colbert episode where he was making fun of Ornette Coleman?
No. But I mean,
he was saying how Ornette.
I like symmetry in art, and I like melody in music.
He goes, "This won the Pulitzer." He goes, "I'm ashamed, people." And Colbert goes, "He goes that they didn't accept our Kareem Abdul-Jabbar on upright bass, and me rapping in NBA uniforms."
Why not?
And then they showed Colbert, and he was rapping and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar was playing the upright bass.
Why not? Because you know, I put that Pat Metheny and Ornette Coleman thing in there, and it sounded like my granny's silverware chest landing on concrete.
Yeah, I understand to an extent, but I'm a.
But then again, I don't do caviar either.
Yeah, I'm the opposite of that because I just look at it from a fun perspective, and when it gets to where somebody says. You know, again, when somebody says this is art and this isn't art, and after a while it's just, you know.
Well, I'm not saying it ain't art.
Right.
I'm saying I don't get the art. It is entirely my fault.
Right. Well, you know.
Because if I'm going to listen to music, the music has to be not painful to my ear first.
I think a lot of that art was.
You know, new from Bleeding Eardrums. No, I'm not going to buy it.
I think a lot of that art was obviously renegade art at the time, you know, just to prove a point that, hey, I can do something that you can't do.
Well, yeah, and David, it's also a matter of pushing the envelope because you go from, you know, Monet, Renoir, and Manet into Picasso and I'm trying to think of some others. This is not my ballpark. And then the next thing you know, you're in Jackson Pollock.
Right.
And the Monets and the Renoirs and stuff looked great at a distance.
Right.
Up close, they were a mess.
Up close, they were.
Picasso, at a distance, a mess. Up close, your mind can play with it and enjoy it. Then you get to Jackson Pollock, and you keep getting closer and closer. There's a picture in here. No, there's no picture in here.
Again, I just go to the fact that anyone who tries to judge art and the person who automatically says these paint splatters are higher than your picture because it's a composite and it looks normal. I mean, again, we're going into the land of insanity here.
Yeah, I think so. David, we got to roll because we're on top of the news, brother.
All right, Bob. It was nice talking to you.
It was fun. Later.
All right, later.
What about you? Philistine? or Jackson Pollock as high art. I mean, my kids were bringing this stuff home in preschool. You know, well, there I go again, lowbrow. This is the Head On Radio Network. Jump right in if you want to. You're welcome to. 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, Head On, on your nickel, 304-658-5453. We'll be right back after the news. I'm Bob.
This is the Quality News Network. In New Jersey, six men are in custody accused of plotting to attack the Army's Fort Dixon. Agents nabbed the men as they tried to buy AK-47s last night. All the men are foreign-born from the Middle East and the former Yugoslavia, but the White House says there is no direct evidence of a foreign terrorist tie. A store clerk first alerted authorities in 2006 that the men had him transfer disturbing video to DVD showing them firing assault weapons. The Pentagon has told 35,000 soldiers and Marines they should be prepared to deploy to Iraq starting this fall. These units are not, however, related to the troop surge. House Democrats have come up with new legislation to fund the Iraq war after President Bush's veto last week. The latest proposal would provide money for the war through July. At that time, Congress could cut the funds if conditions in Iraq haven't improved. The U.S. military says a roadside bomb killed two U.S. soldiers and wounded another. Southeast of Baghdad, the war in Iraq has killed 28 U.S. troops so far this month. Also in Iraq, a car bomb in a busy marketplace in a Shiite city, Kufa, killed 16 and wounded 70 more. Iraq's Sunni vice president has threatened to leave the government unless certain amendments are made to the Constitution by the middle of this month. Senate Republican Whip Trent Lott has joined other prominent Republicans in warning that there must be measurable improvement in the Iraq war by the fall. The governor of Kansas, Democrat Kathleen Sebelius, said that the response to this weekend's killer storms has been slowed because of National Guard deployments to Iraq. White House Press Secretary Tony Snow blamed the governor for any delays. And the New York Times reports that European officials may be willing to allow the U.S. to pick the next World Bank president, that is, if current president Paul Wolfowitz steps down. He's currently embroiled in a controversy over a promotion and pay raise for his girlfriend. In Belfast, Catholic and Protestant leaders today signed a landmark power-sharing agreement which creates a unity government in Northern Ireland. Protestant Ian Paisley has been elected as First Minister. Sinn Féin's Martin McGuinness has been elected Deputy Minister. The treaty puts an end to decades of bloody fighting between the two rival groups. This is QNN.
It's not hard to find people in need. They're everywhere. And there's more than one kind of disaster that affects people's lives. There's AIDS and the millions of orphans the disease has left behind. There are teeming refugee camps, the result of war and persecution. Mary Knoll has been reaching out to the world's needy for nearly a century. Mary Knoll is there right now, in 40 countries around the world. And with your help, Mary Knoll will be there tomorrow. Call us at 877-MARY-KNOLL. That's 877-MARY-KNOLL. Or, for more information, go to www.mygiftcounts.org. One world, one mission, MARY-KNOLL.
Throughout the Central Plains, heavy flooding has shut down schools, businesses, and highways. The Missouri River and other waterways in the Midwest are over their banks. Hundreds of people have had to be evacuated. There's fear that the region could experience flooding similar to the devastation that occurred there in 1993. And Consumer Reports has analyzed 8 popular diet plans. Nutrition experts say the top score went to Volumetrics, a new plan based on low-energy density foods such as vegetables. Starbucks has promised to eliminate artificial trans fats from its food and drink by the end of the year. The change will affect all of its cafes in the U.S., Alaska, and Canada. And U.S. health officials now say that fish for human consumption has been fed the melamine-contaminated meal that poisoned pets in the U.S. and Canada. You'll recall that meal came from China. And a Senate committee today approved an automobile fuel efficiency increase that would raise the standards by 2020 to an average of 35 miles per gallon. The current standards are at 25 miles per gallon. Light sweet crude is trading at $62.26 on the New York Mercantile right now. At the close of Wall Street today, the Dow closed down 4 points. The NASDAQ is up 1. And the S&P closed down 2 points. There's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Laurel Christen.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
Heading for 7 minutes after the hour. I don't know if... I've always had a sneaking suspicion that art, such as David and I were discussing, had an element of the same thing that happens when people laugh with it. Two penguins are sitting on an iceberg. One jumps off and the other one yells, "Toaster!" And you can always tell because there are a few people that will go, "Ha, ha, ha, ha!" And they just want people to think that they got it. I am secure in my I'm secure in my Philistineness. I don't get atonal jazz. And I don't get art that doesn't look like anything. I mean, if you'll just give me a hint, just sort of a "Where's Waldo" in the painting. Yeah, I can work with it, but you gotta help a little bit, because I'm just not highly advanced enough to sit there and look at a bunch of paint splatters and think that it's a manifestation of talent. But that's me. Teresa's been waiting, calling from Canada. Hey, Teresa, welcome to the program. Thanks for calling.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm okay.
I mean,
I'm a Philistine, but I'm okay.
Okay. I was enjoying your conversation with David about Jackson Pollock. Count me as a Philistine as well. I don't get his art. Did you ever see the movie Pollock?
Yeah, I did. It was a great movie.
Yeah. Well, my hat's off to him for, like, well, what did he do? Just would get drunk, go out, and fling paint around.
If you can get paid for it.
People that could do that.
If you can get paid for it, I say go.
I don't know. But why I was calling was the Fort Dix nonsense.
Okay, it's not just me then.
Oh, it's just like that Miami thing. It's got to be. For one thing, they said they're ethnic Albanian and Kosovars.
Mm-hmm.
Well, weren't we fighting on their side?
Well, we were, yeah. But then again, back in the 80s, we were fighting on the side of Osama, too, so, you know.
Yeah. But I've never heard of terrorists coming from that part of the world.
Oh, no, they do. I mean, they go up and they fight the Russians in Chechnya, that kind of thing. And they have been found in so-called terrorist training camps. But there's a reason they do it.
Mm-hmm.
And right now we're not interested in the reason. We're just interested. I mean, this is an investigation that's been going on for over a year.
But I don't even think they've had anything planned. Like, some store clerk or whatever reported them. I was just looking at it on CNN.
Yeah, the dude worked at a 7-Eleven.
Yeah. And he heard them, saying, "Allah Akbar." Well, that'd be like us saying, "Oh, my God." It's a common phrase.
Yeah, I mean, if you're Muslim and you come from Southern California, to say "Allah Akbar," Yeah, just, yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah, I know. Well, I mean, if you stub your toe, you might say, ah, but I got hurt. Like, like how we say, oh, my God, or whatever.
Sure.
Not that, but they've sort of stolen it from them and made it so that that's like a jihad.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, don't come down to the U.S. and say Allah Akbar, okay, Teresa? I mean, it'll get you a trip to Gitmo.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure it will.
I mean, these guys have been arrested. You know, they've been charged with crimes.
With trying to get guns.
Yeah.
I mean,
that the FBI set up to sell them.
How lame are these guys that they couldn't even get guns in the U.S.?
Well, no, it wasn't that they couldn't get guns. They couldn't get the guns they wanted. They wanted full-on, real-live, honest-to-goodness, gee-whiz machine guns.
Mm-hmm.
Which also tells me a little bit about their mental state or their lack thereof.
Mm-hmm.
Because, frankly, because we live in a gun-insane culture in this country, if you do what Sung-Wee Cho did and you just get yourself a couple of semi-autos, as fast as your little finger can squeeze that trigger, you can squeeze off rounds.
Right.
And if you get a few, extra clips, you dump one, you load another. Dump one, load another. Mm-hmm. And you can do as much or more damage than you could with a machine gun that's considerably less accurate.
Well, and also, too, that they said that that was reported like a year ago or whatever. And then paid informants and FBI agents went in there. Well, they probably went in there and, basically set them up and cursed. There's,
well, you know, like, and
in Miami where, well, we'll give you sneakers if you come to Chicago.
Did you just hear what you just said? We'll give you sneakers if you come to Chicago. It makes your brain hurt.
It does.
You know, here's the pizza boxes.
And on CNN, you're reading the text, and they're saying what you quoted earlier. Somebody's saying, "Well, we don't think that they were exactly masterminds or whatever."
Yeah.
But within the article, when the little headlines that CNN has are.
Well, but you've got to read the thing down through 30 paragraphs to find out that they're a bunch of schmucks.
Yeah, I'm sure they are. If they've been there a year and they haven't managed to get machine guns, then...
I mean, all they had to do was show up at a gun show.
Exactly. Like, and if if they're, like, ethnic Albanian or whatever, they probably don't look Middle Eastern. Like, they kept saying they were Albanian and Middle Eastern.
Yeah, one guy was a Jordanian. The three brothers were Yugoslavian of some sort.
Mm.
And
my brother-in-law is Albanian, and he's whiter than I am. He's a Muslim. He loves America. Like, you know what I mean? Like, there's no.
Yeah.
It just.
Well, but look at the.
It just worries me.
Look at the news. I mean, Bush is losing on the opinion. He's losing in the opinion marketplace on his veto of the Iraq bill. People want the Iraq war to end. Everything is against this man. So but this is different from the Miami story. This is different from Padilla or any of the other trumped up load of crap pseudo fake terrorists striking in the United States stories that we've been handed since September 11th. Because now, Teresa, now we know. Beyond a shadow of a doubt, that the Bush administration, at the drop of the hat, has been willing to manipulate the Justice Department. This thing, you know, the FBI doesn't just go out and execute a warrant. Okay, the FBI does what the U.S. attorney in a given district tells him to do.
Oh, exactly.
So this came down from the U.S. attorney in New Jersey, and the word came to the U.S. attorney in New Jersey from the Department of Justice in Washington, D.C., and the Department of Justice did it because Karl Rove told Alberto Gonzalez, and Alberto Gonzalez said, get something mm-hmm. done.
Yeah. Yeah, anything to take everybody's mind off Alberto Gonzalez.
Sure. And suddenly, you know, this is thanks to the hard work of the Department of Justice. And it's supposed to indirectly bolster the credibility of a man who has lost all credibility, namely Alberto Gonzalez.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I was going to tell you were going to say Bush, but same. But
So it's a con.
It's just such a bunch of hooey.
But unfortunately, we're having this conversation here, and while we're having this conversation here, Teresa, the relatively small subset of the population listening to this program knows that it's a bunch of garbage.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, there's a whole lot of people all around the country going, looky there, Ethel. They caught them. Muslim terrorists is everywhere. Ain't there a Muslim delivers our newspaper? I bet he's a jihadi.
Well, that was one of the bold headlines on the CNN website, too. Extremists wanted to kill our soldiers. I'm sure the soldier, I mean, how long would they have lasted if they got in there? I'm sure the soldiers would have blown them away pretty handily. They would have lasted seconds.
Yeah, six guys against a fort. Mm-mm. No, that's the guys will get, you know, the freaks might get a few rounds off,
mm-hmm.
assuming they knew how to shoot them, because, you know, I mean, they were going to the gun range and taking movies of themselves and then taking the movies to the local store to have them copied because they're too dim to load them into their computers. I mean, do you see how many leaps you have to make through this process to make it believable?
Oh, exactly.
And then the guy who's copying the movies at the store notices that they're saying Allah Akbar, becomes alarmed and calls the FBI. Oh, my aching back.
Well, like you said, like if it was, you know, a bunch of Americans, it might say, oh, hey, God bless America.
Yeah.
Or Canadians, too.
Take that, you flag burner.
You know.
Yeah, sure.
Shoot some poor little pheasant or something.
But this operates on a number of levels if people are stupid enough to believe it, because, you see, it was a patriotic citizen that picked up the phone and called the FBI and told them about the terrorist tape duplication.
7-Eleven workers unite.
You have nothing to lose but your squishies.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Teresa, thanks a million. I appreciate it.
Oh, great talking to you.
Good talking to you, too.
Okay.
And I'll get to work on getting you into the forum. Sorry about the password thing.
Okay.
All right. Take care.
Bye-bye.
I feel bad sometimes for the cynic that I have become. But the fact of the matter is, a defense lawyer, if he's actually allowed to defend these people, if he's given access to the information, given disclosure of the evidence, a defense lawyer is going to eat this case for lunch. But you see, we have that doesn't matter, because three of these guys were supposedly in here illegally. Guess what? No trial. No trial. They just get put in prison forever under the habeas corpus law that a whole gang of Republican senators and 13 mugwump, dueless, good-for-nothing SOB Democrats voted into law last fall. No trial. Because, like I said, a good defense lawyer could chew it to pieces. So you were the paid informant in this case? Well, yeah. How much did you get paid? Really? Good work, that informant business, huh? And, of course, since you were getting paid to say all of this, that wouldn't affect your will, your truthfulness, would it? It wouldn't affect you knew what they wanted, you knew what they were hoping to get. You wouldn't make any of this stuff up, would you? You wouldn't lead these people into saying this kind of stuff, would you? Of course, the paid informant would. Hey, where'd that money to pay the informant come from? From you, sunshine. You paid the informant. I paid the informant. We paid the informant. Whatever happened to fiscal conservatism? Whatever happened to actually... Whatever happened to the actual hard work of law enforcement? Hey, we got a fink? Yeah, send the fink over to... the guy that used to work at 7-Eleven, see if he can get him to say he's a terrorist. Listen, hey, I know, but I got this memo from Alberto. you know, it was, Monica Goodling signed off on it. That means the White House knows, too. We got to do this, okay? Look, just get $1,000 for the Fink and send him over and see if you can get and see if you can get the 7-Eleven dude and the ShopRite bag boy and the cab driver and the pizza delivery guy to say Allah Akbar on tape a few times so that we can scream that we've overturned a plot to attack Fort Dix. I know it sounds stupid to me too, but they'll buy it. They'll buy it. We'll put it out. CNN will carry it. They'll run with it. Glenn Beck will have a fit with it. Michael Savage will swear that the cancer is eating us from the inside out, and it's these Islamo-fascists. Trust me. They'll buy it. They're not very smart. We've dumbed them down for 30 years since Ronald Reagan. They'll buy it. And you know what? They're right. We'll take a break. When we come back, there are other things happening in the world. Maybe we'll take a look at some of them. Speaking of Michael Savage, the Savage Wiener. You're listening to America's Liberal Voice. You're listening to The Horn, the Head-On Radio Network. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Huh?
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to The Horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
Recently on the Guy James Show on the Head On Radio Network.
If you have tuned into this program by mistake right now, and you are a Republican, a right-wing Republican specifically, before this program is over, I do want to warn you, you're going to think that I'm the devil. You're going to think I've got horns and a red cape because I hate the Bush administration and everything they stand for. So be warned right away, okay? You're all warned right now that that's where we're coming from today.
Don't miss Guy James, weekdays, 3 to 5 Eastern Time, on the Head On Radio Network.
Hey, have you got a minute? I'm going to say a word. You tell me what comes to mind. Are you ready?
Okay.
Tchaikovsky.
Gesundheit. Okay, what's the word?
No, see, that is the word. What does Tchaikovsky make you think of?
I don't know. Allergy season?
Hey there, how you doing?
What's up?
Who's Martha Graham?
She invented the graham cracker.
No kidding.
Yeah, before her there was only soda crackers.
Hard to imagine. Hey, young lady.
Yeah?
Does the name Man Ray mean anything to you?
Duh.
The man ray is a kind of poisonous jellyfish, and it lives in the Gulf of Mexico.
Aha!
It's very deadly.
Are your kids as well-rounded as they could be? Kids who participate in the arts do better in school and in life. To learn more about the value of arts education, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. Because all kids should get to appreciate Tchaikovsky's music, Martha Graham's dance, and Man Ray's photography. Art. Ask for more. A public service message brought to you by Americans for the Arts and the Ad Council.
Obviously need to address the issue of the Saddam Hussein execution. Have seen the video that was taken on a cell phone, or have read about the circumstances surrounding the execution. It's pretty evident that the absolutely worst thing that could have happened with the carrying out of the sentence after the long trial of Saddam Hussein happened. And if we had sat down and made a list and said, all right, here's a list of six or seven different things that could happen, what would be the very, very worst thing that could happen, not only for us, for the United States, but for the world and for the Iraqis themselves? And it seems to me that if not first, then definitely second would have been what indeed did happen.
The Dr. Bill O'Brien Show, Tuesday to Thursday, noon to 2 Eastern, here on the Head On Radio Network.
Hour. I want to remind you to go to the HeadOnRadioNetwork.com website. I mentioned last night that our friend David in South Carolina had lost his 2-year-old grandson, Jacob, after a long battle with illness. And the child was uninsurable. So the funerary costs are entirely upon them, and frankly, like you, like me, they need some help. Go to the HeadOnRadioNetwork.com website. The information is there. Look around. We'll try to make sure that it's prominently displayed. And if you can spare a few dollars, send it to help defray the cost of the memorial for little Jacob Cato. In the midst of such tragedy, financial pressures are like a few extra degrees of torment. And if you can, try to ease some of that and know that you have done a very, very good thing. Like I said, it's there at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. And it's hard to move on to another subject after mentioning something like that, but it had to be mentioned. But I was wandering around. I think I initially ran across this stuff at Crooks and Liars, this particular issue. I saw a Mother's Day message at Crooks and Liars last night the message itself was crafted by the Brave New Foundation for an organization called NoMoreVictims.org. And since we are talking about children, I think it is appropriate that we talk about this issue. I have a PSA that will be running between now and Mother's Day, which is not that great a period of time, but we'll run it. The NoMoreVictims.org is seeking donations because what they do is they finance desperately needed medical care for children who have been injured by American military action in Iraq, and there are thousands upon thousands upon thousands of them. And if you go to nomorevictims.org, you will see some of their stories. And you will see the heroic efforts that are made to try to return some of these children, children who have lost brothers, sisters, aunts, uncles, mothers, fathers, to try to return these children to some semblance of normalcy. And it will break your heart. But before, you know, the heart is a muscle. And muscles have to be worked to get stronger. Go and have a look. And I've got audio here from the video that is a reading of Julia Ward Howe's original Mother's Day message. Now, see, here in West Virginia, we like to pretend that Mother's Day was invented in Grafton, West Virginia. Julia Ward Howe invented Mother's Day. And she invented it as a war protest. I'll play this thing for you in a little bit. I'll tell you what, Agnes, let's play it now.
Julia Ward Howe was sickened by what had happened during the Civil War, the loss of life, the carnage, and she created Mother's Day as a call for women all over the world to come together and create ways of protesting war, of making a kind of alternate government that could finally do away with war as an acceptable way of solving conflict.
Arise then, women of this day. Arise, all women who have hearts. Whether your baptism be of water or of tears,
say firmly, we will not have questions answered by irrelevant agencies. Our husbands will not come to us reeking of carnage for caresses and applause.
Our sons shall not be taken from us to unlearn all that we have been able to teach them of charity, mercy, and patience. We
the women of one country, are too tender to those of another country to allow our sons to be trained to injure theirs. From the bosom of the devastated earth, a voice goes up with our own. It says, disarm.
Disarm.
Disarm. The sword of murder is not the balance of justice.
Blood does not fight our dishonor, nor violence indicate position. As men have
often forsaken the plow and the anvil at the summons of war, let women now leave all that may be left of home for a great and earnest day of counsel.
Let them meet first as women to bewail and commemorate the dead.
Let them solemnly take counsel with each other as to the means whereby the great human family can live in peace.
Each bearing after his own time The sacred impress, not of Caesar, but of God.
In the name of womanhood and humanity, I earnestly ask that a General Congress of Women without limit of nationality
may be appointed and held at some place deemed most convenient.
And at the earliest period consistent with its objects.
To promote the alliance of the different nationalities.
The amicable settlement of international questions.
The great and general interest of peace.
Stirring and stunning, isn't it? That message of peace has been around since the American Civil War. That was the origin of Mother's Day. And it is a call that couldn't be any more relevant than it is today. Did you hear that line? Our husbands will not come to us stinking of carnage and seeking caresses. Profound. Now, you may not think this ties together, but you know me. I'm going to make it tie together. It turns out that Chevron is getting ready to acknowledge that it should have known. Now, wait, back up. Do you remember all the right-wing screamer heads hollering about the dirty, filthy, corrupt oil for food program? Do you remember them hollering about the Germans and the French and the son of UN Secretary Kofi Annan profiting from the oil for food program? Good God! Remember that? Chevron. They are the second largest American oil company. This is from the New York Times story today. And they're getting ready to give it up and say that they should have known that kickbacks were being paid to Saddam Hussein on oil it bought from Iraq as part of the defunct UN program. I don't have time to listen to all the right-wing radio that's out there, because God knows there is an abundance of right-wing radio out there. But I'm guessing that this ain't being talked about. It's part of a settlement being negotiated with the United States prosecutors, includes fines totaling $25 to $30 million. The investigators declined to be identified because the settlement's not yet public. The program, by the way, just so you can get your timelines in order, was set up in 1996, the Oil for Food Program, by the UN Security Council in order to help ease the effects of UN sanctions on Iraqi citizens. Because remember the sanctions. This is long before there was shock and awe, and this is a reason why, you know, we deal in facts here. And you can't hang this one on George Bush. During the 90s, the sanctions on Iraq killed upwards of a million Iraqi children who wanted for food, who wanted for medicine, who wanted for potable water, because in Bush War I, we had completely destroyed the Iraqi civilian infrastructure. Never mind the fact that that is a clearly defined war crime. We did it anyway, because we are the United States, and we can. When it came time to bomb the living snot out of the Serbs in Yugoslavia, we destroyed their bridges. We destroyed their civilian infrastructure. We destroyed their capacity to generate power. We destroyed their capacity to create clean, potable water. We did it to them, too, and it was a war crime then, too. Because for the most part, you see, unless someone is attacking you, war is a crime all by itself. But yeah, upwards of a million Iraqi children died for want of something as simple as drinking water and basic medical treatment. There was a story out of the Boston Globe a couple of days ago that said that And it was one of those moments that I'm kind of proud of, because God only knows we've been talking about this story coming out of Iraq 3 years, almost since the beginning of the war itself, of people coming back with a condition, a disease called leishmaniasis. It's referred to now by troops who are over there and have to deal with this kind of sick garbage as the Baghdad boil. It's transmitted by an itsy bitsy dinsy weensy sandfly, and it is it's just an in the door problem for U.S. Military medical installations in Iraq and on up into Landstuhl, Germany. Unfortunately, people come back to the United States, and the GP on the corner goes, "You'll be damned. I haven't seen anything like that. Wonder why you're having all these problems. Maybe we should check for Lyme disease." But no, it's leishmaniasis, and it's one of the little, itty bitty pieces of hell that come back to the United States because we decided to go and fool around for no good apparent reason in the desert. But anyway, those are the kinds of things, you know, the disease, people unable to be treated at hospitals. You know, the children who are treated, who are helped by NoMoreVictims.org have to have that treatment because we also managed to destroy the Iraqi medical infrastructure. Oh, sure, you're not supposed to think about it, but go look for it. Don't trust me. Go look for it. We bombed hospitals. You know, I got to wonder about the pro-life crowd that ran in droves to vote for George Bush. He's pro-life. Because if you go to NoMoreVictims.org, you'll find, among other things, the story of a child and his father who survived our assault on Fallujah when a rocket attack demolished their home and shrapnel ripped open the belly of his pregnant wife, causing her guts and her baby to spill out on the floor. Little fellow was wounded, but they couldn't put him in an ambulance and take him for treatment because the American soldiers were shooting at ambulances. I'm sorry you don't like this. I don't like it either. It makes me ashamed for my country, but by God, it happened. It's been documented time and time again. American soldiers shot at ambulances. Well, Bob, we had a good reason. We thought they might have terrorists in them. They're ambulances! We shot at ambulances, so they took the family, including the mother, bleeding to death with her intestines hanging out, and her baby prematurely, or her baby, what would you call that? Partial birth abortion. Yes, yes. Hey, right-wingers, how about that? You paid for partial birth abortions in Iraq. They had to take the mother died. Everybody in the family except the father and the one child died for want of medical care. But anyway, coming back to the story at hand, Chevron. They're going to pay $25 to $30 million as a penalty because they knew, or should have known, at the time that they were buying this oil from Iraq, that they were doing kickbacks to Saddam. And by should have known, that means they knew, okay? And this is all going on from 1996 up until shock and awe in March of 2003, okay? Now, here's the fun part. The fun part is that you can't lay all of this at the feet of George W. Bush because it was going on before he became president in January of 2001. However, you got to ask yourself a question. Who was involved at that time? Seems to me there's this Russian scholar with a passion for Ferragamo pumps who had a tanker named after her. Oh, what's her name? Condi Rice sat on the board of directors of Chevron while this was all going on. What did she know? And when did she know it? And if, in fact, she was on the board of directors during this time period, does that semi-admission that they should have known they were involved in paying kickbacks to Saddam, does that apply to Miss Rice? And if it does, can we talk about that in the American media? I don't think we can. Now, I mean, this is just stuff that's off the top of my skull. Oh, wait. Miss Rice resigned from Chevron's board of directors on January the 16th, 2001. So from 1996 to 2001, 5 years of kickbacks being paid by Chevron to Saddam Hussein, Condoleezza Rice knew or should have known that these crimes were being committed. Of course, that's a little like 9/11, isn't it? She had in her hand a presidential daily briefing titled Bin Laden Determined to Strike Inside U.S., referencing the hijacking of aircraft. And she said it was a historical document. But you and I both know that kind of sleazy Rice knew or should have known that an attack was imminent. No. See, I'm not playing the conspiracy card. We're not going to talk about whether Building 7 committed suicide or was pushed. I'm talking about when hard, cold evidence is dropped in your lap that says the feces are about to strike the fan blades, and you pass it off and say, well, you know, they say that. I hear there's some shoes on sale down at Needless Markup. Beautiful monoblonic pumps. I mean, you know, the stiletto heels are like pencils. Knew or should have known is a standard of criminal conduct. And I got a question for you. Why the hell is Condi Rice still in her office? Why does she still have a job? Why has she, as part of this Chevron business, and the rest of the board of directors of Chevron, see, Chevron as a corporation, they're going to pay $30 million and it's all going to go away. And I call BS. Corporate accountability involves charging corporate officers. You see, Kofi Annan's son got sleazed throughout the media for conduct that may have been sleaze-worthy. Will we talk this harshly about Miss Rice? Oh, wait. Sean McCormick, a State Department spokesman, referred all inquiries to Chevron. Chevron declined to comment about the private deliberations of its board. Its board should be going to prison. And I don't mean club fed. I mean turning big rocks into smaller rocks into smaller rocks into dust prison. The kind of prisons where we send guys who were caught with a pocket full of crack. That's where Condoleezza Rice belongs. That is where the rest of the board of directors of Chevron belongs. Well, see, Bob, you're just part of the angry left. You know, that pisses me off. I mean, I read that. I know. That's a straw man. And yeah, sure, I understand. But I am. I'm a part of what these weirdos call the angry left. And I'm angry because we're supposed to be a nation of laws and not of men, and yet somehow or another, we're not. Because we cannot bear to hold people legally accountable for their crimes. Whether it's impeachment or Condoleezza Rice and her knowing or should have known participation in the oil for food scam. Whether it's the Hellfire missiles and cruise missiles falling on the mud huts of Iraqi people who had nothing to do with any military action whatsoever, and ripping the guts and the babies out of pregnant mothers, we cannot have accountability for any of it. And yes, it makes me madder than hell. And if it doesn't make you mad, if it doesn't make the rest of America mad, then the problem is not mine. The problem is the rest of America. Because my position is based on, oh, what's that Republican phrase? Yeah, law and order. Law and order kind of guy. I want to apply law and order to our filthy, dirty, rotten culture of corporate corruption. I think that there should be a death penalty for corporations. Yeah, I do. Let's go to the phones. Our good buddy Phil calls in from Daytona Beach, Florida. Hey, Phil, welcome to the program.
Hi, Bob. Thanks for having me on.
My pleasure.
Yeah, boy, I just went listening this past half hour, my range of emotions went up and down. Boy, man, whew. Oh, that poor Jacob and the mom. And you know what? We have got to be angry. And we have got to direct this anger to the appropriate people. I believe every single member of Congress who is not aggressively calling for accountability in regards to these criminals in Washington is complicit. At this point in time, you know, I don't, all the different quotes, I can't quote them right now, but
there's no waffle space left. There's no weasel room. There's no wiggle room.
No.
I mean, you know, George was fond of saying, you're either for us or against us. Well, this is that kind of black-white issue, isn't it, Phil?
I'm telling you, you know, I don't, you know, Bob, I'm an American. I'm not, and I refuse to have anyone label me as a liberal, a Republican, a Democrat, a conservative, or this or that. I'm taking my own American, my own label. I'm not allowing anyone to label me anymore. I'm an American, period, you know, and what's going on? I'm an American who wants my country back.
Me too.
You know what I'm saying? And I mean, we've got to get to that point, and I think a lot of us are from all areas. I was speaking to a fellow this afternoon about this. You know, these people are criminals, and they're evil. As J. Edgar Hoover said, the individual is handicapped by a conspiracy so horrific that they refuse to believe it. You know?
Yeah.
J. Edgar Hoover. These people, Iraq, 9/11, the food, all this stuff, these are not mistakes. This is not ineptitude. This is not incompetence.
This is intentional criminal conduct.
Iraq, you know, Donald Rumsfeld, a member of the PNAC, a founding member of the Project for a New American Century, who planned this whole Iraq thing, and I believe were heavily involved in the 9/11 as well, in order to kick it all off. On April 21st, 2003, there was 17,500 members of the 1st Cavalry Division, equipment, everything ready to go in and secure Baghdad, right?
Yeah.
After the invasion forces took Baghdad.
Right.
April 21st, 03, Rumsfeld deliberately intervened, called off.
They were down.
He went head-on with General Thomas White, who was Secretary of the Army at that particular time, and went head-to-head with him, and he called off the 1st Cav. Can you imagine if the 1st Cav went in there as planned and secured Baghdad? They wouldn't have their quagmire, and if they don't have their quagmire, they don't have the ongoing occupation. None of this is incompetence. This is deliberate evil that these
deliberate,
I'm tired of dancing around it, Bob.
Deliberate criminal conduct, Phil.
Exactly. And
I mean, we don't have and that's the thing. I'm not correcting you, and I'm not taking you to task. But I think it's important the way we frame and discuss these issues, because we don't have any punishable crimes for being evil, but we have a boatload of statutes on the books for punishing deliberate criminal conduct.
Thank you. I'm glad you said that. That's going to help me, you know, when I'm spreading the word. You know, because these bastards are good with using, you know, how they say stuff, you know, to fool people and their masters. And, you know, but I believe that the American people are waking up, and if they're not waking up and you're awake, then get busy waking people up, man.
Well, that's like the thing with Rohrabacher that I've been talking about since last night, and I'm going to keep talking about it.
Thank you.
That's got to, you know, and set them up. Set up the people you're talking to. Did you hear about the congressman who wished another 9/11 on America?
Yes.
No, really? And lay it all out. Who was it? Who was it? Who was it?
And someone else told me that the other day, Bob, as far as a strategy, how to approach people rather than...
We are a country that is fascinated with gossip, Phil.
Yes, but the way to actually approach people, instead of tell them, you know, so-and-so did this, put it in a question mode, like you just did. Did you hear about this?
And you know, see I did a little stint as a telemarketer one time, and there are strategies for this kind of stuff, and so you know, you don't tell somebody something, you let them come to the conclusion by themselves. Yeah, wouldn't you like it if your teeth were a little bit more white?
Mm.
Wouldn't you like it if your breath didn't stink? Wouldn't you like it if your clothes were shinier when they come out of the wash? You ask them a question, and you let them, and the name of the theory, Phil, is called getting to yes.
Oh, okay.
If you can set up questions that you know the other side will answer yes to, you build trust.
Yes. Well, you know, Bob, these guys say what they're going to do before they do it, you know, and we can go into all different things behind that. But these guys have been openly saying that we're going to have a nuclear attack in the United States. You know, Cheney and what's the other trilateral commission guy? The big new, you know,
Brzezinski.
And even Giuliani. You vote for a Democrat, we'll have another 9/11. You know, I mean, these people are
criminals.
Yes. And this stuff's coming. They're not stopping. Just because we're getting hip to them doesn't mean they're going to stop. If anything, these guys are
No. They don't go, oh, well, you caught us. Okay, we'll disappear for a little bit. No.
Yeah.
They still think that their whatever their goal is within their grasp. And you know what? They're about half right.
Well,
because all that's required is the silence of the American people.
And this is where, you know, hey, people, if you're not getting involved by now, man, you are definitely part of the problem, because, you know, there comes a point in time when you're either doing something about it or you're not. There ain't no coasting in between. You know what I mean, Bob?
Yeah.
And I think the American people are, you know, it's time... it's time where, you know, there's no middle ground anymore with that. You know, I think there's enough that's been revealed where if an American person's not standing up to this stuff, man, then they're supporting it, you know. And, man. Well, anyway, I know you're coming up against the hour. I did watch Rocky Anderson, Sean Hannity debate Friday night online.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I just called Mayor Anderson's office. I want to get a video of the first half hour of it. He presented an open shut case with a PowerPoint presentation and everything as to why, you know, all the lies leading up to war, the laws that were broken, just like you said, you know, name the, you know, put it in legal terms that these are criminal acts, that are laws are on the books. And I don't, you know, we should be able to take that presentation and present it to authorities to say, look, you are in, you know, it's incumbent upon you now to this crime is being reported. You must act on it, you know. And that's why I say Congress has no excuse anymore. You know, this has all been done. This has all been demonstrated, the crimes of this Bush administration. And if it's presented to you and you don't act on it, then wouldn't you be complicit or an accessory in essence?
Well, at some point, silence becomes acceptance.
Yeah, but I mean, these people are officers of the law or whatever, you know. No,
that's what I'm saying. Silence becomes acceptance.
Yes.
Failing to act makes you complicit in the act. It does make you an accessory.
Yes, and I guess they're not answerable to anyone. I mean, so it really does come down to them whether or not, you know, they're answerable to the American people and whether or not we're going to call them on it or not.
Exactly.
I mean, it really has reached to that point where they're not, no one in Congress, Democrat, Republican, no one's upholding the law.
And I'm trying, Phil, I'm trying to work it out in my head how that works in 2008.
Oh, BS right now today.
Well, no. I mean, yeah, the hard work leading up to it, but I'm trying to figure out how it works out for me at the ballot box in 2008.
Well, you know, I refuse.
Whether it means staying away or voting for the other side or just not voting for this side, I don't know what form it's going to take yet. I haven't made up my mind.
I'm glad you brought that up because I'd like to offer something. You know, I believe, you know, our side versus their side. I'm leaving that paradigm, Bob. I've left it, man. I have abandoned
that you're not going to be sucked into the
Democrat versus Republican. I've abandoned liberal versus conservative because both camps have been co-opted.
Well, see, I differ with you a little bit, Phil, because I don't believe that real liberals, real progressives have. Because we're out here and we're going at it hammer and tongs. Now, it doesn't take a lot to call yourself a liberal as a politician or a conservative. It takes less to call yourself a conservative in some places.
I should rephrase what I meant. I mean the Democratic Party versus the Republican Party. I'm sorry.
Well, don't apologize. It's okay. We can.
You know, I've actually been watching Ron Paul and following him.
I listened to him in the debate the other night, and he's still crazy in my book. Some of the stuff I agree with.
Yeah.
The reasons for not going to war, I agree with. But a lot of that hateful libertarian neo-republicanism just drives me just nuts.
Well, I'm not saying I've made a decision, but what I have decided is I'm not ruling anything out, and I'm listening where I used to not listen because it was a Republican.
Yeah.
Or I used to not listen because it was another, or, you know, I don't want to close myself off.
Well, there's not a prayer of Ron Paul losing his seat in 2008.
Right.
But there are a lot of Republicans out there who are at grave risk right now, and interestingly enough, they're beginning to have second thoughts about the war because they know that they rode on George Bush's coattails in 2000 and 2004 in some cases, and they know that they're going to ride on his coattails on the way out. So don't be surprised, Phil, when you see supposedly principled stands come out from the from incumbent Republicans up for re-election, because those principles are not worth a lot.
Yeah, you're right. It sucks, man. You know, the I want to throw them all out, Bob.
You know what I'd like? I'd like Phil Restino in my Congress. No, I'm not kidding. Yeah. I'm not blowing smoke at you.
Like a citizens' Congress, you mean? You know?
I want people who work for a living. I want people who understand what it is to make a choice between groceries and gasoline, because then we'll solve some problems.
Yeah, I guess we just have to keep working to find, you know, like we had here in Florida, Sam Simpson, who you had on not long ago, and.
Yeah, give me Sam. I love Sam.
And another fellow, I don't know if you're familiar with, Dr. Bob Bowman.
Bob Bowman would be beautiful there. Our good friend Tony Truppiano from Michigan.
Tony Truppiano, another one.
He would be brilliant and would have been brilliant. And I hope he hasn't given up the idea of running again.
You know what I think, Bob? This media, we just have to stop feeding it. You know, I knocked my cable down to basic because, you know, every Sunday night, my girlfriend comes over, Kathy and I, and we watch one television program. This, you know, that's not political or anything. It's just a getaway. You know?
Yeah.
Cold Case. It was a really neat program.
Yeah, I know a lot of people dig that.
Yeah, you know, and if you're not crying at the end of the show, you know, boy, you're missing something. But anyway, that's the only reason why I haven't totally gotten rid of the cable. Because of that, but I got rid of all the cable stuff.
Yeah, even my enjoyment of the History Channel and things like that has diminished lately because it seems to have been turned into the Prove the Bible Correct channel, and I find that incredibly annoying. Fake science and pseudo archaeology.
We're feeding it, Bob. We're feeding the monster that's killing us.
Yeah,
we're paying these creeps to be.
Well, that's part and parcel of what we're doing here, Phil, because, you know, now I'll be honest with you this is inside baseball. There are people on this network who think the coolest thing in the world would be to get on terrestrial radio and start having to run commercials every 7.5 minutes like terrestrial radio does.
Mm.
Okay. They think that's a way to build programming, to build exposure. And they are right to a certain extent. But you know what? I want to build it.
It means giving up what you offer, though.
Well, I want to build what we've got here.
What's this thing with the card? I heard you mention that earlier. One of the callers is able to listen with a internet card.
Oh gosh, yes. This is the coolest technology. PCMCIA cards that slide into a laptop.
Yes.
That give you wireless internet in, you know, wherever you are, as long as you're within the service area, just like a cell phone?
Yes. And he was able to...
And Alan's cruising down the road, and he called in and quit billing me for the satellite, baby. I'm listening on the internet.
Boy, I remember you had Jeff Alan Wolf on one night, I think, and you guys were talking about the internet radio being actually the future, and you
it
guys
is.
Are truly on the cut. Boy, it'd be great if, you know, I know I'm always suggesting different guests for you guys to have. Sorry about that. There's so many good people out there, and you always...
There are. Good.
But, boy, it'd be great to have hear more on that again, you know, the upcoming technology and...
Well, I'll try to find some folks who can talk about it. You know, we spend a lot of time... for instance, I just got us listed with a service called Receiva, RECIVA.com. And what they are is they provide a listing of internet radio stations that are loaded at the factory into this coming generation of internet radios that are, you know, as long as you've got a Wi-Fi router in your home, then this thing will work on the tabletop.
And can you imagine, Bob, if you're paying, God, you know, 50, 75, some people pay up to $100 a month for their cable TV, which is
more than,
is the enemy, man. This is, we got to stop feeding it. Can you imagine if we took that and put it into one of these internet cards and
well, you know, yeah, if you've got one of these and you've got a laptop and you're driving down the road, boom, you're listening. On the other hand, you buy one of these tabletop radios. I know there's a lot of different places you can get them. I went and looked at them at ccrane.com. Mm-hmm. They're not that terribly expensive. You don't have to be sitting at, you know, that's the one kind of downside to internet radio is up until recently you sort of had to be sitting there at the computer. No more. This thing sits on your radio, on your tabletop, on your kitchen table, in your living room, whatever. Some of them you can hook into your stereo system, you know, patch it in, and you tune it just like you'd tune a radio.
Ccrane.com. And this is a device that's not even a computer.
It's a Wi-Fi radio. As long as you have a wireless internet router.
Yes.
Hooked up to your broadband.
Yes.
Well, that thing just picks up the little, you know, because that's an FM signal. It just picks up that little FM.
Is great.
Yeah, and boom, you know, you're listening, and that makes it more like terrestrial radio, because it becomes more mobile.
Well, I'm with you. I hope you guys don't change what you have. You know, as far as having to sell out the advertising, you know, of the terrestrial, whatever you said before, turn into one of the ones we're trying to get away from, is what I mean, you know. And because this horn network is a treat. And here's Kathy. She, my girlfriend, you know Kathy from Cold
Inc. Oh, sure,
Inc.
Sure.
Well, it's Bob Kincaid. We're on the air.
Hey, I was going to ask you, Phil. Hey, Kathy. I know how involved Kathy is with Code Pink.
Yes.
Does she have a pair of Code Pink tennis shoes from No Sweat?
No, I don't believe so. And I missed last night's show. You had him on, right?
Yeah, Adam said during, I mentioned those, and he said there's just a few pairs left. But those are some good. They look, they're just canvas, high top, and they're very cool.
Oh, yeah, we have a member of our Veterans for Peace chapter, Jimmy C., out in De Leon Springs. Shows up to some of the demonstrations with his Code Pink high tops, right, Kathy?
Yeah, well, those are there's a few more pairs available there at nosweatshop.com.
Oh, dynamite! Well, I'll tell her. Boy, I'm taking up the line, but there's a petition going on right now to the folks that run moveon.org saying, look, you know, enough with this crap. We want impeachment.
Quit fooling around and put impeachment on the table, sure.
Yes, I'll email it to you guys. And well, thanks for letting me babble again.
It wasn't babble, Phil. I love our conversations, and I always appreciate it when you share your thoughts.
Thank you, Bob.
You take care, and give our best to Kathy.
We'll do, and I'll check into those high-top pink sneakers.
All right, we'll see you.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. I don't know if they make them in a size 13 that I could wear, but I think they'd be cool. Takes, you know, you got to be secure in your masculinity, as the insecure say, to wear a pair of pink high tops, especially in West Virginia. 13 and a half minutes past the hour. Let's take a quick break, then we'll come back. All this media talk, yeah, I want to get to the Savage Wiener. This is the Head On Radio Network. This is America's liberal voice. It's going to stay that way. I'm Bob Kincaid.
You okay? You okay? You okay? You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham. Monday in New York City, United Steelworkers President Leo Girard told the North American Labor Conference on Climate Crisis that global warming is the ultimate health and safety issue for workers. USW's Marco Turbovich says the union is calling for a new gold standard in regulating carbon emissions and global trade.
These crises are interconnected, and we need a new gold standard in these areas in order to deal with the problems of climate change and global warming and to deal with the loss of manufacturing jobs.
Turbovich says environmental concern is not new for the United Steelworkers.
We are very actively engaged in recent years with the Apollo Alliance, which is seeking to initiate policies that bring about sustainable jobs through renewable job growth and greater energy efficiency, and with the Blue-Green Alliance, which is a partnership of the steelworkers and the Sierra Club.
The steelworkers say enhanced regulation of carbon emissions and global trade can be a powerful tool to improve workers' lives worldwide. Organized labor continues to keep pressure on Circuit City after the electronics chain fired thousands of high-paid employees in order to hire others at a lower pay scale. Jesse Russell has more.
Unionized workers and their supporters held a rally on Monday in front of a Circuit City store in Roseville, Minnesota. The workers were calling on the United States Senate to pass the Employee Free Choice Act and also to protest the firing of 3,400 store employees because they were being paid hourly wages above the national retail average. The company then hired workers at a lower pay rate. The AFL-CIO is protesting in front of Circuit City because the organization believes it symbolizes the type of actions from which the Employee Free Choice Act will protect workers. The top executives at Circuit City each earn more than $3 million per year. A similar protest was held last week by the Industrial Workers of the World at a Circuit City in Albany, New York. The IWW is not affiliated with the AFL-CIO.
18 months out from the 2008 presidential election, 9 months out from the first scheduled primary, and with only one debate under her belt, the New York State AFL-CIO has passed a resolution urging that the national AFL-CIO consider supporting New York Senator Hillary Clinton as the next president of the United States. The resolution comes as a new poll shows nearly two-thirds of U.S. voters are already fatigued by the early start of the campaigns. Here's today's economic report. According to the Center for Economic and Policy Research, real wages are no longer growing. In the past quarter, wages were up 3.6%, but inflation was a full percentage point higher. April's job creation numbers were weak, just 88,000 new jobs. Job growth for the prior 2 months was revised downward for an average of just 118,000 jobs a month. And unemployment is also up, standing now at 4.5%. You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Small town homecoming queen, she's the star in this scene. There's no way to deny she's love.
Yes, you are, Agnes. 19 minutes after the hour. And we go straight back to the phones. Our good buddy Peter calling in from beautiful, sunny Tallahassee, Florida. Hey, Peter, welcome to the program.
Good evening, Bob. I just had a wonderful conversation with Agnes. You know, I love that woman. If I were straight, I would be on it, I tell you. I would be so trying to take her away from you.
You know, you're not the first gay guy to say that.
She's marvelous. She's like the long-lost friend I never had. I just love that. I wanted to tell you...
You're my twin.
Yes, we are. Yes, and we shouldn't be left alone in a room together because we start plotting the overflow of just the overthrow of just about everything. But I wanted to talk. Well, there's a couple of topics, but one before we leave the topic of the card you plug into a laptop.
Yeah.
There's another way to do it. A lot of people may not realize it, but a lot of people's cell phones already have a jack on the side.
Oh, do they?
Allow you to plug your laptop via USB cable into the
cell phone, and then you dial up to an ISP via the cell phone. There's a special number of the phone company.
But at that point, is that dial up?
No, it's the full range. Well, it depends on where you are in the country. Some parts of the country only have towers that give you somewhat better than dial-up, not dial-up speed, but it's better than dial-up, but not dramatically. And others give you, like, full broadband. So it depends on where you are and which tower you're talking to. But what I'm getting at is not everybody would even necessarily need to buy another card. Just check into your instruction manual for your cell phone. Your cell phone may very well have a...
Yeah, and the key would be to look at the cell phone and see if it's got a USB jack on it.
Yeah, and it's probably a little small USB jack, the mini kind on the...
Right, the little miniaturized on the phone end, and then it goes into a standard USB 2.0.
Exactly, right, which would plug into your laptop. But and that's one thing. But what I was going to talk about was these guys that played the Bible verse at the airport in Fort Lauderdale. Do you know about this story?
No.
Oh, poor Bob. Well, anyway, this happened like at 1 a.m., 12:45, 1 a.m. at the airport in Fort Lauderdale.
Trying to muscle in on the Krishna's territory, are they?
Well, yeah, kind of. The airport was fairly deserted. There were a couple of gay guys who had just flown down from, where was it, Chicago, I think. And they were in Fort Lauderdale, getting their luggage. And an airport employee had downloaded how you can download ringtones?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, well, they had downloaded... Bible verses on their for their ringtone.
Oh,
and the Bible verse they had downloaded, which they played twice, several minutes apart, was the Bible verse about any man who lays with another man as it would. It's from Leviticus.
Oh, for pity's sake!
It should be put to death. I don't have the exact.
And yea, they shall be stoned. Yeah, hallelujah.
Yeah, the word death is definitely in it. And then they paused and they played. Well, the guys were horrified. I mean. You know, here you are, you're at a strange airport in the middle of the night, somebody's playing basically death threats over the intercom, and they're supposed to walk out into the parking lot. So, you know, they're a little bit freaked out, so they call, and the employee's been located, and he was a sky cap, and he's been fired. The county couldn't fire him, but he was with an independent contractor, and he said, oh, it was a joke and all this stuff. But the thing that's really bugging me about this is, you know, if people are saying, well, you know, it really wasn't really that important, all they're doing is playing a Bible verse, but look at this. What if some guy had gotten on there and played a ringtone of the Quran, 9:5, which says, fight and kill the disbelievers wherever you find them, take them captive, harass them, lie in wait and ambush them, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Now, you know Homeland Security would have been...
Like a duck on a June bug.
For death threat, they would have been Gitmo'd in a heartbeat. So, you know, it was just the disparity of it. You know, if somebody did the Quran, you know, versus somebody playing it, you know. This is going to be huge. In just a few, you can count on it. The Christian right is going to get all huge about, oh, you can't outlaw playing a Bible verse over a public...
This is what happens when the House passes hate crime legislation.
And it was clearly harassment of these two individuals. I mean, they looked masculine enough in the photograph, but they may be, affectionate toward one another. They were a couple. So the guy noticed them because it's the middle of the night. The airport's not that crowded. And he did that as a joke on those two guys. And he goes, like, oh, I didn't realize there was anybody gay in the airport. Blah, blah, blah. You know, it's bull. Anyway, I just, you know, it's welcome to Florida.
I didn't realize there was anybody gay in Florida.
Yeah, it's pretty rough, I'll tell you. Jeb Bush has left the state in shambles. The cost for homeowners insurance is astronomical, if you can get it at all. The deal he made with the insurance companies absolutely is rape of the consumer trying to afford homeowners insurance from the storms and all
right.
That sort of thing. And he's left education in shambles, it goes on and on. He wasn't as stupid in his speech as George Bush, but he's just as evil, and he is just as destructive to the workings of the government.
And he's every bit the quality parent that George is.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Doesn't he have a couple of little hookers for daughters too?
She was getting her cocaine brought to her in rehab in a Domino's box. Maybe that's where the dudes in Jersey got it from.
That little
biatch.
Yes.
She got busted in Tallahassee for that, I think. Yeah,
her own rehab mates called and narked her out in rehab.
Oh, dear Lord.
You know what? She needed to be sent to one of those Fundy rehabs.
Yes, truly. And, you know, and then so Paris Hilton, I mean, she's doing the same thing that Bush is. You probably read this in all the articles. Everybody's making the comparison. You know, she's, oh, she cried, and, you know. And she,
I just signed the stuff.
Right, yeah, yeah, yeah. Wouldn't it be cool? They both so need to go to prison. Well, maybe Paris
together
for a shorter time. But, you know, Bush for life, at least. It's such a disparity.
Oh, well, you know, I'm having a hard time working up a big sympathy for Paris.
Oh, me too.
I mean, you know, we've already seen the videos and stuff, and we know that she's not going to be bothered by being housed with a bunch of other girls. And,
well, you know, I'm old enough to be kind of over Pop-Tart.
Well, yeah. Pop-Tart, yeah, but I'm bummed. Yeah, he'll be here all week. Try the view.
Yeah, I'll be here all week, kids. I'm calling every night. Same time, same place.
You need a show.
Oh, you know, it would just be really horrifying. You know, I mean, you know, I could do short bursts. I could do what is the race where you do like a, but you know, the marathons. I don't know if I'm ready for that yet.
The long distance running.
Yeah, that's, you know, 2-3 hours.
What happens when the phone doesn't ring?
Oh, dear God. You know, that's a pretty scary thing. I guess you just open Yahoo and just start reading.
Where do you think the filibobster came from?
Yeah. Man, you guys have it. I don't know how you, I mean, at the
now,
end.
I got to warn you, though, Peter, you're stirring up a potential hornet's nest. I'm sitting here looking at an email from Billy Shears.
Really?
Yeah. I'm jealous. That damn Peter's trying to take my Agnes. I'm mad at him.
Oh, did he just send that?
Yeah.
Oh, bless his little Billy heart. I sure love him. You know, he sent me I will never share it or put it, but he sent me an actual photograph of himself. You know, he's kind of a cutie. He is. I don't think I stand a chance with him, but he's a cutie. He's got a wonderful mustache. He really does. And it's not one of those Bolton mustaches, you know, one of those 70s.
No, it's not. It's not a floor sweeper.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, it's not one of those. It's yeah, he's a pretty cool dude.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I mean, you guys are going to have to fight over Agnes on you know, on your own time. I'm sorry.
Right. Now, guys, I love you all, but Peter, I have a very nice boy for you. He's my cousin, and he's very sweet and works for NASA.
Oh, but Agnes, I mean, you know, I have so many boyfriends buried in the backyard. I don't have to
Shh, Peter, it's the hog, honey.
It's the reason you're out of the closet that the boyfriends had to. Oh, God, we're going bad places.
Mm-hmm, we are.
You know, I don't know, but, you know, you've given me an idea. I think I need a Bible, I need the Bible verse about stoning disobedient children for my ringtone.
Oh, yeah, how wonderful. Yeah, you could do it in the department stores everywhere.
Yeah, and if your child disobey you, take him to the outskirts of the village and stone him to death, yea, verily, until he doth die. Amen, hallelujah.
Well, that's really all I had, Bob. I just wanted to do the dial-up cards or the whatever it is.
I can't believe that's just, oh.
And the
next,
guys down in Fort Lauderdale. Well, Fort Lauderdale's really freaking out because there's a lot of gay folks down there. That's like, you know, the COPA's down there, I believe. The COPA.
Yeah, and see, well, this is designed. Look, I'm you know how paranoid I am. I mean, it's almost medication time. I believe that you're going to see this as a run-up to the consideration of the hate crimes legislation in the Senate, and you're going to see these hateful Dobson worshippers, because they certainly don't have anything to do with Christ. You're going to see these Dobsonians and Falwellians and Robertsonites and what the hell ever they are. You're going to see them start trying to push the envelope and get more public with their hatred, and then say, see, they won't let us do this if they pass the hate crimes legislation. But of course, that's a complete and total lie. It's a distortion. There's nothing in the hate crimes legislation, Peter, that says they can't go on talking their hate.
Exactly.
And the thing is, the other thing that hasn't been mentioned, the hate crimes legislation is an addition to other protected classes.
Yes, and it allows the federal government to come into small towns where there's been a crime that can be classified as a hate crime that the local authorities don't care to investigate.
just because of the nature of the crime.
Right. Right. But it's important to note that, you know, there's already other classes of people who you can be prosecuted for manifesting your hateful intent in attacking, and yet the phony Christian right, these hypocrites, these monsters, they seem only focused on being it, because of course we wouldn't say that we hate black people for being black, because see, we was doing that 50 years ago.
Yeah.
And we're over it now. But we got to have somebody to hate.
Yes, that's absolutely true. And it would seem that they would, like, they've got so many people to choose from. It's just that we're like an old pair of blue jeans or an old pair of shoes. You know that.
Yeah,
it's just so easy to go after the gay folks.
Gay bashing is comfortable.
Right, right.
It is. I mean, for that segment of the population, gay bashing is comfortable.
Yeah. Yeah.
And God, that's a sickening thing to say in the 21st century in the United States. But do remember, there's good news out there. You are actually hated less than atheists.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I guess,
and Muslims.
I think we rank right up there, though, with scientists and NPR.
Now, on the other hand, if you are a gay atheist Muslim, you're screwed.
Yeah, pretty much. No doubt. Yeah, or illegal Mexican or alien. Or
gay, atheist, illegal Mexican Muslim.
Yeah.
At that point, yeah, at that point, just crawl under a rock.
Absolutely. Okay.
Oh, Peter, thank you so much.
Well, I enjoy talking to you every time.
Bible verses on cell phone. Oh.
Yeah, they do ringtones. I've got to locate that site. We'll see what we can.
Oh, if the minute you find it, it gets emailed, okay?
Okay. We'll do.
If we find, you know who would be a great resource for the study? I'll bet you, if you asked them real nice, the fine folks at Landover Baptist.
Oh my! I bet they would.
Would do a Stone Disobedient Children ringtone.
I bet they would.
If they haven't already.
Yeah, those guys are really on top.
I mean, after all, they've got the T-shirts out there that say "God told me to hate you."
Yeah, right. And, of course, it's Betty Bowers.
Mrs. Betty Bowers, so close to Jesus, she returns his Christmas gifts?
Yes. And they are he gave you the recipe for loaves and fishes.
Oh, I think we're on to something.
Yeah, we need to do that. Well, you have a good evening.
You too, Peter.
Okay, hugs to you both.
All right.
Bye.
Bye. Fight over Agnes on your own time, okay? Please. Now.
Oh, you're bad.
I'm teasing.
Sure you are. Jealous.
Damn right. I'm a redneck man.
Stop being jealous, Bob. I'm not stealing your limelight.
See the green rising up into the... Yeah.
I love you all more.
And she does. I mean, well, okay, I'm not going to go any further. I want to. We're fast running out of time. I got a couple of things I want to bring up to you because there's some audio that goes with. Let's start with Flush Flemball. All right, Flush Flemball. And God knows there's other stuff to talk about, and I'll leave it to the guys who are really good at policy stuff to cover this stuff. But this is fairly important. Because again, somebody's got to play this. Somebody's got to pay attention to it. I said earlier in the program, the Barack the Magic Negro song is getting a little bit of traction, as it deserves to. Because this is the way a sleaze maggot like Flemball operates. See, he's just like the right wingers. He calls them names too. They earned it. The song is by Paul Shanklin, who Flush has paid to do this and to run the tune. Okay, Flush Flemball made Paul Shanklin, and his cover, Flush's, is that he didn't say Barack was a magic Negro, and neither did Paul Shanklin, that they're merely repeating a term coined in the 50s about black actors in films really, black actors in films who can make otherwise nervous white audiences feel good about black people. And the term was coined in the 40s or 50s, and the character is referred to generically as the Magic Negro. I find that appalling. So then the writer at the LA Times picks up on it, and Paul Shanklin then picks up on it and makes the song and turns it into a minstrel show, because it's not just the title, Barack the Magic Negro, it's the way it's performed, which is by Paul Shanklin, who is apparently an impressionist, doing an impression of Al Sharpton, who sings the song, you've heard it, I'm sure, who sings the song through a bullhorn. So you create the imagery of the uppity, won't stay in his place, Reverend Sharpton. See, this song is much more about Reverend Sharpton than it is about Barack Obama, at least on its surface. But I want to go back, if we may, please, to the Flush Flimball OxyContin extravaganza of Monday, the 7th day of May. Agnes, roll it.
We've been playing this parody since March. It didn't create a ripple in this audience. There was no contrary effect. The votes came in. People thought it was one of the most creative and funniest they'd ever heard.
Okay, stop. It didn't create a ripple in this audience. Well, Flush, that's because your audience is a bunch of proto-Klansmen. Okay? The people that listen to you think it's okay to make fun of people based upon the color of their skin.
Now, all of a sudden, there's a controversy over why. I wonder why that would. Could it be that these sponges who do not listen to the program, obviously, found out about this from the Chicago Tribune story yesterday? That where did they hear about it? Did they hear about it from Media Matters for America? Do any of these people actually listen?
No. If you people okay. No. These people don't listen to your program, Flush, because you are becoming every day more and more irrelevant. You're having to push things a little further, be a little more outrageous, a little more outrageous, a little more outrageous, to keep up with the racism Jones of your ditto head sick audience. But you see how this isn't valid criticism because it's these guys didn't hear me say it live or anything. They just heard it, and the next complaint is always, they took it out of context. Baby, we are up to our eyeballs with context on this. We've got 20 years of context for Flush Flimball.
I haven't done so. You need to go to the website and read the transcript of my Rush to Excellence appearance. And all you drive-by journalists ought to do this, too. Every one of you out there that think you've got something here on Barack the Magic Negro, I'm going to try to help you and save you.
Wait. I know he's talking fast, but did he say Barack the Magic Negro? I mean, after all, he's got that Midwestern accent. Guess what? That's not what he says in private.
I'm going to be profoundly embarrassed if you keep going down this tune and going down
embarrass
this path.
Embarrass me, Flush.
Thinking there's something here that isn't. All you got to do is call www.rushlimbaugh.com. It's on the internet. You just type that in, hit the return key, and bam, my website comes up, and you can find my remarks. Yeah, the text of the speech or anything you want about this song.
Why, in fact, at his website, you don't have to go and look. I did it for you. Don't help it. Don't, because, the number of visitors he has a lot to do with the advertising rates he charges. There's a thank you there to some TV station in Sacramento thanking them for making Paul Shanklin's Barack the Magic Negro the most popular parody ever run on Flush Flimball's OxyContin Hayride.
I've said, and you would be fully informed before you start making idiots of yourselves.
We're fully informed. We're not idiots, Flush. We know what you said. We know what you played. You know, that's the thing. Media Matters doesn't take it out of context. They give you a good chunk in front and a good chunk behind it, and you get the full context, sunshine.
Where do you start with this? These are people hosting a local news show in Sacramento on a television station, a CBS of what? What do you want to...
I'll be damned. You mean they host news shows on television stations?
Snurdly's upset because they're trying to blame me now for Obama getting Secret Service. But
Wait a minute. Okay. No. Roll on.
Service protection in due course. Yeah, I'll tell you what. If I were to think about Barack Obama being in any trouble, needing Secret Service, I would look to Clinton Inc. before I looked at me.
Yeah, you would, Flush. And see, it's frustrating because you think about all the little ditto heads out there going, "That's right, Rush, you wouldn't lie to us. You're America's truth detector. That's what you are. You're my hero, Rush. That's why I'm hooked on OxyContin now." I would look to Clinton Inc. Now, CBS told its internet staff to disable comments on any story having to do with Barack Obama because they had become racist hate fests. See, this is the thing. He's America's truth detector, but he just makes crap up. Stuff like, I would look to Clinton Inc. You know, and of course, that's part and parcel going all the way back to the whole Clinton Chronicles tape that Jerry Falwell was out there huckstering and got pushed on his program arguing that the Hillary killed Vince Foster because Dan Burton went in his backyard in Indiana and shot a watermelon with a 9mm pistol. No, I'm not making that up. I don't make crap up. That's their job on their side because they can't operate in the realm of fact. Now, it is a known. I mean, there's no doubt about it. Now, back last week when it was first mentioned about Barack Obama getting Secret Service coverage, I mentioned that even though it was not mentioned in the initial story, what kind of stuff caused that decision, you know, it was not disclosed. I said, but you know what it is. You know it's hate. You know it's the unmitigated hate stuff. You know it's racist stuff. And you know where it's coming from. It is coming from the home of American racism. The grand old party. The Republican Party, because that's where that garbage resides now. That was the home that was given to racism and race baiting and hate after the civil rights movement. Lyndon Johnson said it would cost the Democratic Party the presidency for a generation to do the right thing, but they did the right thing anyway. It's one of those things that sort of redeems Lyndon Johnson. But no, the ditto heads aren't allowed to know that. The ditto heads have just been told that the cause for Barack Obama having Secret Service protection has nothing to do with him constantly playing this parody, this so-called parody, Barack the Magic Negro, which is in fact It's an audio minstrel show. It's audio blackface with the voice that's done of Sharpton with the bullhorn, and it's the end of it. Okay, it's the end of it. You've never heard this on this program because I got so disgusted by it the first time we played it that I stopped it before we got to this. Okay, play the front end of it just to sort of get the flavor.
Barack the Magic Negro lives in D.C. The L.A. Times, they call him that cause he's not authentic like me. Yeah, the guy from the L.A. paper said he made guilty whites feel good. They'll vote for him and not for me cause he's not from the hood.
Okay, now wait. They'll vote for him and not for me because he's not from the hood. Okay, the thing attacks by mocking the voice of Al Sharpton. And it also attacks people who would happen to be white and vote for Barack Obama and informs them that their reasons for doing so are not legitimate. All right? Now, Agnes, click down to that break. See the big gap there? Let's see if that's what I think it is. Hit it.
Be a black man like Snoop Dogg or me or Farrakhan. Have talk the talk. Cause I won't have nothing after all these years of sacrifice. When I don't get justice, this is about justice. This ain't about me, it's about justice. It's about buffet. I'm not having no buffets. There's not gonna be any church contribution. And there ain't no cash in the collection plate. There ain't gonna be no cash money, no walking around money, no stolen money. Now he's probably gonna come in here and say that he's authentic, that he's been in the street, in the struggle with the rest of us down here where all of us struggle. This is crazy. I'm not gonna have nothing.
So in the end, Al Sharpton, again, this is not about Barack Obama. This is about Al Sharpton in many instances. In the end, anyone who stands up on a civil rights issue is nothing but a con man. You don't listen to Flush, so maybe you haven't heard it. Every time he mentions Jesse Jackson, he has to say, the Reverend Jackson. This is about demeaning. This is about taking away identity. You see, Barack may be a magic Negro, but Al Sharpton is just another black man with a bullhorn who's out there trying... Listen, I won't have nothing at all after all these years of sacrifice, and I won't get justice. This is about justice. This isn't about me. It's about justice. It's about buffet. I don't have no buffet, and there won't be any church contributions. Where in the world is this buffet stuff coming from? Except to perhaps create the impression, you know how it is, they're shiftless. This is every rotten, stinking, filthy, racist, racial stereotype that has ever disgraced the American culture. And they have all... and they have all been resurrected in this filthy little song. But of course, it's not Flush Flimball's fault. It's Media Matters' fault. And see, that's the way it is. You want proof that Rush is still on the junk? It's in his response to the criticism of him for running this little nasty bit of hate frequently. Because he knows he's insulated. He knows that if every advertiser he has went away, he would stay on the air because he has always been fronted by the GOP and its hateful, ugly little think tanks. And that's his secret. Frankly, he could come out and start using the N-word every day. It wouldn't matter. Because he'd claim he's a comedian. He would cry that he's being taken out of context. Sure. And at the end of the day, the people that support him would continue to support him. This is just sickening. And he thinks he's going to get a big PR boost out of it, and you know what? He kind of is, because we're talking about it. But we're talking about it, I hope, for the right reasons. We're deconstructing it. Now, the clip was also in there of the TV show in Sacramento, and, you know, the one going, well, Rush has done a lot of funny parodies, this one's not so funny. They don't understand. Most of the talking heads don't understand, or they don't have the guts to call it for what it is. This is race baiting. And this is a quiet little signal to everybody who's been out there posting that filthy garbage about Barack Obama at the bottom of news stories and the comment pages and the blogs and so forth to please continue doing so. Rush told them out of his own filthy mouth that he will continue to give them cover and argue that it's all being done by Hitlery. They don't have anything to worry about for me. They'd better look to Clinton Inc. Because you see, way back when the media created the Dean Scream. Now we've been over this, and we know that was all phony. Because we know what it means to have a direct line coming off a microphone straight into a mixing board. During the Dean Scream, Rush claimed that was the Clintons, because they wanted Dean out of the way so Hillary could run in 2004. You got to remember, Rush Limbaugh has been running Hillary Clinton for president since Bill Clinton became president. It's his shtick. It is his bit. You know, I went wandering off and listened to some of the late, great Bill Hicks not long back. I would love to play for you what he said about Rush Limbaugh, but I won't. No, it's a little too raunchy even for this program. And by that, I mean, you know, all the words, I could play it, and the FCC can't do a darn thing about it, but Agnes would hit me with a brick. She'd get really, really mad at me and, like, not speak to me or maybe start cooking for me or something. But, you know, if you get a minute, go to YouTube and look up Bill Hicks Limbaugh. I guarantee you'll go straight to some funny, funny, really graphic, really nasty stuff. I mean, well... I don't know. I laughed my ass off of it. What am I talking about? I mean, it involves Rush, it involves Reagan, it involves Barbara Bush, and some really, really profound bodily functions, okay? But what I meant, you can tell Rush is still on the junk because he cannot deal with reality. He can't take responsibility. In all of that monologue, at no point did you hear, and I'll tell you, you know, I mean, I listened to more of it than what we played. At no point does he say, listen, writing this garbage about Barack Obama is wrong, and if anybody is listening to me and getting the idea that they should from us playing this dumb little parody, stop it. I make you certain promises with regard to what this show will be and this program and this network will be. If I ever get wind that anybody is using my words as a crutch or an excuse to go and argue for illegal activity, I will tell you the minute I find out about it, that the very next program, I will demand that it stop. You know, I don't want you to talk to your friends and neighbors about Dana Rohrabacher wishing another 9/11 on America because I wish any ill to come to Dana Rohrabacher or because he's white. I want people to make an issue out of Dana Rohrabacher's words because Dana Rohrabacher's words were wrong and were evil and were irresponsible and reprehensible. That's why I want you to make an issue out of that. Remember, he told people who had objected to his description of this, of illegal kidnapping and torture, well, I hope it's something that happens to you. Sure. That deserves to be, shall we say, outed? Does he deserve to have something wrong or bad or illegal done to him? He deserves to be run out of office. And the minute he's run out of office, don't worry, he'll have a taxpayer-funded pension for the rest of his natural-born days and the best health care available on planet Earth. But he does not have any business taking part in debates that affect the lives of millions. That's the difference. You have not heard, you will not hear Flush Flimball admonish his little ditto-head listeners, the racists, the Klansmen, the cross-burners, the skinheads, the run-of-the-mill Republicans, but I repeat myself. You won't tell him not, you won't hear him tell them not to even think about doing anything violent or evil or sleazy or nasty to Barack Obama, because at the end of the day, he wants it to happen. Please understand that. That is the nature of right-wing hate talkers. They want to make this happen. Tomorrow when we come back for prayer meeting edition, God willing and the crick don't rise, I got a long clip that we're going to go through from the Savage Wiener, doing something similar, only different. Threatening to build a militia of 10 million people to attack Washington, D.C. And it's what they want. But they want others to do it. They don't want to do it themselves, because they are, first, foremost, last and always, cowards. That's it for tonight. Thank you for sharing your time. A reminder, if you want to help out with the bills for little Jacob Cato, the information is at the top of the headonradionetwork.com page. Our webmaster, our engineer, and our general genius in all things technical, John Fox, let me know that he had done that during the program. I got a note from our good friend Billy Shears, who said he has already given what he could. And I'm not trying to, I don't want to make Billy uncomfortable or anything, but when anyone needs anything, Billy is always at the front of the line helping. If you can, you help too. Many thanks to the exhausted Agnes for her production talent this evening. By the way, it looks like it's not appendicitis and the little guy is getting better. It was just an ugly stomach virus. Thank you so much for your inquiries and all your words of caring. As I said, John Fox is our engineer and he's amazing. Peter Godbold is our IT consultant and so much more. And we do appreciate him so very much. We appreciate Ben Birch at the White Rose Society, whiterosesociety.org, the hardest working man in liberal talk who makes all of this happen every day. We're thankful for the United Brotherhood of Carpenters who are building the American dream and helping us save the American dream. Liza, I know you went to the doctor today, but that's just going to have to that's going to happen from time to time. You're a baby. Now it's time to go to sleep. And always, always, RMR, Gina, it's all for you. We'll be right back.
U.S. April death toll in Iraq passes 100. People object to Giuliani's backers list. Terror attacks up sharply. War bill delays minimum wage hike. Rice says Bush would oppose Iraq benchmarks. Gore calls Canada climate plan a fraud. Hillary says Congress has no appetite for Bush impeachment. Kucinich says impeachment may well be the only remedy which remains to stop a war of aggression against Iran. George Tenet on 60 Minutes calls outing of plane big-time wrong. Tenet says Cheney had eye on Iraq long before 9/11. Tenet memoir draws heat from key players. JFK murder plot deathbed confession aired on national radio. Video shows Cheney continues claims of Saddam and Al-Qaeda connection. New toys read brainwaves. Little-known drug offers legal high. Congress's vote on Iraq war is only a prelude. U.S. and China aim to weaken the climate report. Prostitution scandal has Washington in new shock and awe. Hell, I go off the air for 1 week, and Washington still is corrupt. Nothing's changed. These are the issues ahead on the Jeff Allen Wolf Show. It's time to enter the Wolf's Den.